And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead. Today's the day here in Arizona, IA. So let's go ahead and go through what we're going to be doing today. First, we're going to yak for a little while. Then in the second hour, we're going to have Jordan Page is here. He's resting, and he had his wrist in the cast. And I'm like, oh, no. But I could tell what they were. Rest his wrist, because when you're, you know, wanging on the guitar all day, every day, you know, you need to, you know, rest of your wrist. So he's going to be coming on the second hour. We're going to let him sleep a little bit more because, you know, jet lag. But we were up last night watching a movie. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But in the second hour, he'll be joining me with Adam Kokesh to talk about Monday's Troops for Ron Paul event, which Jordan played at, said it rocked out. He goes, it was just amazing. Sea of people, very enthusiastic. It just, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of great stories to tell. And Adam Kokesh actually sang with him, you know, got up there on stage and, you know, sang with him, a little duet kind of thing. So I'm like, all right, don't expect it from me. But Thursday, you know, it's kind of a little uber secret, is that we didn't want to say anything until today because we didn't want to compete with this evening's event. But tomorrow night, Thursday, Jordan's staying over an extra day, and we're going to have a private party here for the activist here at the farm. And we got a sound system and everything. We got, you know, neighbors, they get to have their mariachi party. So we, you know, we get to do ours, you know. Plus, you know, there's like, you know, it's a couple acres. So, I mean, you know, come on. Let me have some fun. So what we're going to do is we have one of the activists is going to bring in his karaoke kind of set up DJ wedding thing. And we're going to go. We have a couple of guys that do that. So we usually got, you know, not one guy has to do it all the time. So Keith Cernick is going to go ahead and bring in his equipment today. And then tomorrow we're going to go ahead and set up and have a party for I don't know. I mean, you know, 3,000 of my closest friends. So it's, I don't want to get too many. I mean, I know what's going to happen. It'll get in this hundreds of, you know, adoring groupie thing. But I just, let's go ahead and just have the activist, you know who you are. You know, if you're feeling uncomfortable about coming, or you're a new person, or you just started one and you want to come visit with the people and we'll just have a relaxing, good party time, then you come, you know. But if you're a neocon slacktivist, you know, commie, soci, make no apology, what, you just won't be comfortable. So everybody's welcome. We just didn't want to compete with tonight. Now, tonight is going to be, I have no idea. I mean, they have an itinerary and so on. Donna, can you put back up to the top of the event? Okay. Oh, is it? You go on to the top of Freedom's Phoenix, and you'll see Freedom's Phoenix will be live throughout the day at the debate events. And if you go into that, you'll see that there's an itinerary in there and some pictures and graphics and so on. And it gives you a map to where the event is and the church. And they're trying at the event to make it a public event with everybody doing their thing, enjoying outside watching the debate and then the street party and all that kind of stuff. But I already know, I mean, I'm sure to be enthusiastic and there'll be a lot of people there, but you know, the party's going to be a few hundred yards away at the New Life Church, where we're going to have the party for Dr. Paul, and he'll come later to speak. So we're going after the show. We were going to go this morning, but they wouldn't let us in the parking lot until noon anyway. So I'm just like, all right, fine. We'll go ahead and do the show here, live in the studio. Jordan Page will come on in the second hour. We'll have Adam Kokesh on. Then in the third hour, and Jordan and I were talking about this last night, and I said, he's, how do you approach or, could, you know, I want to be, you're, it's how he put it. He goes, you and Adam are closers, you know? He goes, I can go out and do and play the music and influence people and get them thinking and, you know, and feeling good and doing, you know, what he does. He goes, but, you know, I'm not able to close the deal. You know, they're just kind of, my family, your friends, and, you know, it's always somebody else that's going to close the deal. And he goes, I want to be a closer. I want to free their mind. I want to get them, okay, I get it. I want to be a closer, because he had an experience with his father at the march. I'll let him tell you in the second hour. It was very moving. You know, his father went, and it was, you know, a good story. And I'll let him tell you. We'll spoil it. But he wants to be a closer. Well, how do you do that? I have a lot of suggestions, but the main thing is this. You can't convince somebody, especially once they've invested into whatever the heck it is so much that they're going to do. And I said, if you can convince, you don't have to convince people, but if you can make sure that they understand why you're so convinced. I mean, you know, oh, this is why I think, you know, nobody ever asks why. You know, even talk show hosts, oh, no, why? I don't know. You're not allowed to ask why? I don't even, that's like the most important question to me, and nobody ever asks it. You know, they'll do all kinds of stuff and this and that and get facts and detail, whatever, but they, you know, why did you do that? Oh, a question. You know, I love you. Oh, they don't want to get into the why. But I can see why they don't ask why. Because if you can get people to understand why you're so convinced, well, that, it takes down their barriers, you know? You have so many barriers that if you could just bypass that and stop getting them defensive and starting filling their sandbags and digging their foxhole deeper, you know, the first thing when you do when you attack someone, they get on the defensive, they stop listening. You know, they're thinking the next thing to say to get, you know, you're just explaining to them why you're so convinced. This is, you know, a problem for me. This is the one thing that did it. This new law that they, you know, this is what, you know, I saw and I did and I. It's all about, you know, how you perceive to be whatever, and this is why you're convinced. And then if they try and, like, undo those facts, well, you shouldn't feel that way about this fact. Well, that's how I feel about this fact. Well, they did, the only thing they could do is challenge the fact. No, that didn't really happen. Well, it did or it didn't. So everybody has a role. There's a tapestry of reasons why someone would go, hey man, something's wrong. Well, last night, you know, we were talking. I said, you know, what you guys did with the troops going to Washington, it reminds me of a movie called Sir No Sir. And I keep pushing that movie. We put it in the magazine. We put it up on the Freedom's Phoenix every now and then. We made hundreds of DVDs that we sent to the Liberty Forum this week. The guys are leaving this morning to go back to New Hampshire. And last night we loaded up the silver card vending, the silver dime vending machine. And, that reminds me, we got to go pick up that printing. Somebody do that. So we have all of this stuff that we're taking and we're bringing, we're getting all ready last night. And part of that is this movie DVD, Sir No Sir. Well, when you had that troop thing, I'm going, wow, this stuff has happened. I don't think a lot of people really understand the reason the Vietnam War really ground to a halt is because the troops just stopped fighting it. Seriously. Thousands of officers fragged, killed by their own. I mean, and they show news clippings of the day, Walter Cronkite kind of stuff up there going, damn, you know, this is, you know, the whole army is in revolt. And there are newspapers on the bases, there was all kinds of concerts, and this is where all this hate went toward Jane Fonda, because she was part of this and helping give it credibility, opposition to the war by the soldiers. Well, we watched a movie last night. Jordan will tell you what he thought of it when we come on with him. And we got some news for today and what's going on, so we'll talk about it when we come back.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DonttreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info and get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're having, we're gearing up, man. You know, today's going to be a long day. We're going to be up, it's a long day. And there's a lot of work to be done. We did a lot of it yesterday and got everything all set and so on. I even cleaned my studio after I finally got my computer. Oh, whole nother thing. I have an XP that, you know, I like it. We got computers coming out my rear here. I mean, it looks like Christmas in here at night, you know, all the LEDs. But this, it's probably over 8-9 computers just doing different things. Because we found out we try and tax them too much. You know, they're going, and they cough. And I go, nope. Got one for the audio recording, one for the video recording, one for the editing of the magazine. Another one is a backup to yada yada and a mobile that we get. So, but I have my computer. Mine. And it's an old XP tower. I'm on my probably third, fourth tower and fifth motherboard and, you know, whatever. So I'm working on this because I have all the data backs up on a hard drive, you know, but it's just not the same. I mean, I need some of the old programs, the way I edit photos. I mean, just, you know, yeah, I got the CS 5.5 Uber, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, no, I just want to. So to get this thing going has been a real pain in the butt, but it looks like I got it going. So I can send out the emails, you know, to the way I like to do it to the people for Thursday. You know, activists, so I'm announcing, Thursday, you know, it's a party. Here we're going to relax. After Wednesday's thing, we just come here, and this is the chill, man. I'm just, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting down right here. Jordan, play, you know, and I'll be under a little heat lamp here. So, yeah, we do need a little bit of heat at, you know, like 10 o'clock at night in the desert. You know, it gets down to, like, you know, like 60. Can't have that. So what we're going to do is enjoy ourselves tomorrow night, but today is work. Now, one of the things that Jordan, we were talking about, is he's talking about closing the deal with people. And we'll talk about this because he has some very interesting stories. And he was very, he was hyped up, man. He thought Washington went great. And the coverage that was given and the way it's reported, I thought it was awesome. It reminds me a lot of the movie Sir No Sir. And he watched that and he said, I never knew any of this. Never knew this. His father was a Vietnam vet and so on. He goes, you know, his father was in Vietnam in like 67, 69, around in there. We'll talk about it. And this is stuff that went on that, you know, you never heard of. You didn't know. Now, it's in the news back in the day, but they kind of scrubbed the history of it. You know, we don't want anybody to know about this. Well, when you have Vietnam veterans against the war get involved with Iraq veterans against the war and veterans against the war and veterans for peace and veterans, you know, and Arlington West and all this other stuff during the 2004-2006 election cycle, I remember, you know, these guys, you know, cool. They're transferring history on and they do the Winter Soldier thing where the soldiers get up and say, let me tell you what I did when we go into the village. And this was like policy. Oh, they're going after these guys in Haditha or whatever. And he'd go, heck, that was what they're expected to do. You know what? God sort them out later. So these are the stories that need to be told and they did it. And now it's opportunity for the veterans to express their preference. If you're going to have this commander-in-chief thing, You know, I'd rather be Ron Paul. And it was whenever they do it was, I think Jesse Thornton was one of the guys that were there. It was a guy that was in Iowa, and he has the 9/11 buildings tattooed on his neck. So I guess CNN thought, or Fox, or whoever it was, I think it was CNN, Wolf Blitzer, thought, you know, they were going to get them some, you know, America. And he, you know, made it clear that, you know, Dr. Paul, because these guys are messed up like polio, and we don't want to go fight this war anymore, and he's active, and he's got his uniform on. So I guess they thought they had, but once he got into it, and Israel fight its own, you mentioned the word Israel, boom, the feed went, yeah, we lost the signal. God, you know, how'd that happen? Dr. Paul had him come up on the podium, let him finish his comments. This is history stuff, but if you watch Sir, No Sir, you can see this happened before. Same kind of stuff. And they just, you know, restart. You think, oh, no, this is the first time. No, this has been going on for freaking ever. You know what? How far you got to go back? You know, it's Korean War, World War II, World War I. They were putting people in jail for being anti-war, in jail here in America. World War II, they're putting Japanese in internment camps. I mean, you know, you have the Civil War. Yeah, the veterans from the First World War, they had Eisenhower and McCarthy, or you got their laying wait. Smedley Butler could see what was going on. He's like, war is a racket. They all these guys wanted their, hey man, we want our bonuses we were promised, and give us money, and no. And they go, we'd be camping out in front of the White House, and then here come the troops. And you know, it's just, I mean, all this stuff has been going on for the, you know, Civil War, you know, the problems with the veterans there and how they're taking care. I mean, you know, this is not new, but they want to make it new. They want to wipe the slate clean and start, oh, it's different this time. No, it's not. Exact same people, same reason, same stuff, same. Sooner or later, it'll get learned, like, you know, doing that movie. And I talked to the director. I can't remember his name, Ziegler or something like that. And I, it took me a while to get hold of him. And I saw the movie. I'm like, wow. And he was disappointed. He's like, I thought it would change the world. I thought this history, what really happened, would, you know, would change everything. And I go, it did. I go, what'd you think? You know, Fox News is going to go, okay, you know, we could have had a V8. I mean, you know, what'd you think was going to happen? So we pirated. I mean, I told them, I said, you know, I'm making gazillion copies of this. Sue me. So we would make thousands of them. I mean, we just sent hundreds of them to the Liberty Forum. And do we have any left now? Can we do some for tonight? Yeah. How many is Donna going to make for tonight's peoples? A couple of hundred. Boom, done. Boom, shakalaka. So even as busy as we are today, you know, we got enough time. Yeah, we can make a couple hundred. Doesn't take that long, half hour, hour. You know, make a couple hundred, and we'll just pass them out. Say, you know, we'll put them in the vending machine. Because they set in the vending machine, you got all these silver cards and so on, and we got a bunch of stuff that we'll put in there. And they went last night after they got all loaded and everything. Ross and Drew and Alex and Jim are doing all this. Well, Ross and Drew are going back to New Hampshire. Well, Jim and Alex are going to be here taking care of the machine. We'll get it there and get them all situated, and then it's their thing. You know, we got other stuff to do. But in there, they programmed it that all the cards just be $5. I mean, you can make it easier, just $5. And it's changed, pain in the butt. And you got to keep it low because I know it's going to go pretty quick. So we just put $5 for each of the cards. They're just in silver melt value, $2.50. It costs us about $1 or something to do it. And, you know, so whatever. You know, there's profit, you know, get over it. So we have $5 in there. Then we'll have just $1 for the DVDs because they just set it up to do $1. Well, instead of us standing there, which we'll just pass them out, you know, if we got, but we'll just put a bunch in there, and they want, you know, boom, $1, they get a DVD, you know. Oh, that might be a copyright thing, though. You know, start charging for it. That would just get them out. So this is going to be a powerful, powerful lesson for a lot of people. Now, what we also are going to do in the last hour, Brad Friedman is coming in studio. He's here in Arizona. Now, Brad Friedman from Brad Blog, he's all about election fraud for years. He and I have known each other for a long time, but he is definitely a progressive. And I told George, man, you want to see how to close a deal with somebody way on the other side? We'll see what we can do. But it will be interesting. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Hello! Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where today is the day. Today is the day for Arizona and the GOP debate, CNN coming, Dr. Ron Paul scaring them state because we can. Today is going to be a really good example. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com he was very animated after the 2004 election cycle. Now, 2000, with Al Gore and Bush, that got a lot of people's attention. And they just started to, you know, look at this election fraud thing. In 1994, when I ran for Secretary of State, that was my primary number one. I had lawsuits, Town 44 election laws, all the way in the Ninth Circuit, arguing. I'm going, look, I know where this all stems from. I know how they get away with all this crap. You know, because they can. Well, let me tell you, you know, why they can. Because they control the elections. This was not hard for me. I'm going, let me see, what do I look for? They use computers that allow one single code programmer with a floppy disk to control the entire planet, and you're not allowed to manually validate and look at what it says to compare the computer. Let me think what happens. Because they can, and that's how. I made a big stinking deal out of it. In 1998, the next 4 years later, I ran for Congress, and it was because I refused to comply with some stupid First Amendment violating campaign, the way they structured you had. It's a long story. And they banned me for 5 years from running for state office. That was my punishment. And I go, okay, I run for Congress. They couldn't stop that. That's why for three times I ran for Congress. I go, really? I just looking for a soapbox. I don't give a crap. You want to play? So that's what we did. And then a Republican, she was a city councilwoman for Phoenix. Her name is Frances Barwood. She ran for Secretary of State on the GOP ticket. You know, she's a popular city councilwoman. She, you know, but oh my goodness, she said the word Constitution too many times. And she ran for Secretary of State, and she took all of my information. She asked me, she goes, can you supply me with all that information that you did? I found that very fascinating because she was an actual poll worker before she became a city councilwoman, or right when she was and she was still working. She saw this happen, everything I was talking about. And she goes, I know. When she ran for the nomination in the primary for Secretary of State, they came after her like you wouldn't believe. And I told her, they're not going to let you do this. Certainly not from a GOP position. It's just not going to happen. So she's like, oh, no, people need to know. And man, they blasted her as much as they could. So I, you know, okay. Well, what'd you think was going to happen? See, I can do it and not, you know, what do I care? You know, I'm doing it as a third party. I'm not worried about whether I'm going to win or not. But when you run as a, you know, to win votes instead of winning minds, you know, or exposing things, so on, you're in a totally different arena because the people that support you are giving you money because they want you to win. Well, the people that support us, you know, they don't want us to, you know, get the most votes according to the government computer. I mean, you know, it's a different mindset. And we've been able over the past couple of decades to build a culture here of support and people so that, you know, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to overflow the church for Dr. Paul. I mean, of course. And this has been happening all over the country. Imagine what's going to happen here. Or 80-foot signs. So this is, it's going to be very interesting, but as people start to come in to understanding there is a major problem with the election cycle, this is the one thing that they thought that the government wouldn't touch. To give it this entire thing legitimacy, well, no, they wouldn't mess with the vote. I mean, they'll lie us into war and rape and pillage and steal and allow and rule of law goes out the window. Supreme Court will do whatever, and the corporations are people with rights, and you know, it's kind of, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on, but they wouldn't do vote fraud, election fraud, because that'd be wrong. And I'm like, wow, man, what special Kool-Aid they have for you guys? Well, Brad's coming around, but he is of the mind that if the people had the ability to express themselves accurately at the polls, they would vote for communism or socialism, progressivism, or some ism to where they're going to take my money and redistribute it. So I'm going, man, you're starting to get evidence. I mean, that's going to be my point today. He comes to the studio. I said, you're starting to get evidence that there might be a generation next that just leave me alone. Are you okay with that? Because you might get it. And it doesn't matter because of the economics, it's going to go to crap anyway. So there, it's going to be an interesting conversation. So it kind of dovetails into what Jordan Page was asking. He's going, how do you close the deal? Well, you can't. You know, they do it on their own, or it won't stick. So I just, you know, make sure he understands why I'm so convinced. And he's going to have to convince me. And it'll be like a John Stewart thing with Judge Napolitano deal. I've been through this so many times. Yeah, but what about? And I go, what if we had the same goal? What if we wanted prosperity and peace and we wanted to have, you know, reward and people have a higher standard of living? And this, I mean, you know, what if that's what we want for the poor people to have a better circumstance? What if that's what we want? What's the better way? Force, coercion, redistribution, a shiny badge and a gun to my forehead? Is that how that works? You know, that's what you're advocating. So it's going to be an interesting conversation, and I want to do it because it's so illustrative of what we are really up against. But it's changing. It's becoming exceedingly obvious that just this morning, as I, you know, I get up and, you know, flip on the TV and there's CNBC and I'm flipping through, boom, Whitney, Meredith Whitney. She's up there. I'll find it. We'll put it up on Freedom's Phoenix later and get posted on CNBC. And I don't even know what the full thing was. Basically, it was municipal bonds. Now, remember, a couple of years ago, she's going, look, municipal bonds, man, it's the cities and states and these pensions and unions and everything done. But why do you think this big war is going on with Walker and everything, all this stuff? You know, I don't even pay attention. I already know where it goes. You know, their whole thing is get rid of anybody that opposes unions. Now, here in Arizona, they're doing the same kind of thing. It is interesting and has been an issue that keeps recurring and keeps coming up, is that you have unions, municipal unions, they negotiate deals where they're getting paid with taxpayer funds for them to go on strike and shut down government. We want more money. That's interesting. You know, can they do that? You know, do we have to have a union of taxpaid employees to where they, you know, got chokehold on the taxpayer? And I'm like, you know, I don't care because I just assume you just shut the whole thing down. And what's the difference? You know, I mean, you keep doing this. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening. So these municipal bonds and all these different packages and these retirement funds and all this kind of stuff, it's starting to come to where it's gone. It got spent. It's over. They drained it. They diverted it. They, you know, whatever it. You know, we owe you. It's like Social Security. We owe you a bunch of money, but we spent it. You know, so now what's going to happen? Well, Meredith Whitney was going, you know, this is going to happen. And they go, oh, no. Well, they drug it out, you know, another year, went past time. Well, it's starting to happen. So, I mean, is she wrong or she get the timing off or whatever? Or they just kind of delayed it and go, uh-uh. And, oh, stock market's at 13,000. Yay. They're making the claim that the stock market now is at the highest point since the bailout. And when you have a depreciation in the value of the dollar by a gazillion, I'm just going, it doesn't mean anything. It's like being happy that your house now is worth $300,000 again, but you're paying $2,000 for a loaf of bread. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. So people understand their standard of living, where it's at. They understand, you know, whether they have a job or their kids have a future or they got their 28-year-old daughter living in the basement. I mean, we understand. How does that manifest itself? They're not going to do any more presidential debates with the GOP after this one tonight. Why? You know, the troops are there for Dr. Paul. Why? They're afraid. Why? Let me talk about that today. Remember right back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government, the real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Just go over some of the headlines on Freedom's Phoenix now, just to, you know, just opening up the pages and what's of interest to me. Well, here we got Ron Paul presents presidential platform. Christine Paulson said she attended Friday's rally in the Student Union Building Ballroom to support Ron Paul and the youth of America. I think it's great to see so many people here today, Paulson said. It gives me, as a baby boomer, hope for the future generation. Then it went on some quotes from the young people and so on. So he has a presidential platform. This is how you do it. You know, it's inauguration day. You go ahead and you go, this thing on. You're all free. I'm going golfing. You know, that's my presidential platform, you know. So I'm sure it's not far off from that. So this is what I think people are looking for. Is, you know, can we just not? Now let's see what's some of the other stuff. FHFA releases plan for Freddie and Fannie exit. A federal housing regulator on Tuesday released a plan for beginning to scale back mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, just as the Obama administration is pressing the taxpayer-backed companies to do more to help homeowners. And this is where their philosophy is in direct conflict with what Dr. Paul advocates. The whole point is that let the prices go. Let the market determine what, you know, get all this bad debt off and everything. We got to start from, you know, why we keep bailing out all these bankers, kind of blah, blah, blah. They're like, no. We got to keep prices up. We got to use government coercion, force, and engineering to get the banks to refinance and do and keep them in. And let it go. Let it go. Go. And just get the homes back in the free market at whatever value they are, which could, Lord knows, a lot of people just be walking away. I know that. But, you know, this has to happen. It's going to happen. You know, it's just all politics and for the bankers. Fed's push on housing crosses a line, critics say. Senior Federal Reserve officials are injecting themselves into a noisy debate over how to solve the housing crisis, drawing criticism from some lawmakers who say the Fed has no business straying from its traditional role as a U.S. central bank. Well, they're going, well, that is a U.S. central bank. We, you know, we get to, you know, turn all the dials. What did they think was going to happen? But then you got technology coming to the rescue. Here we go. Ubuntu for Android. Now, Ubuntu is a Linux open source operating system, blah, blah, blah. And now they're having it for their tablets and so on. And I'm going, ew, really? I go, okay. Let's go ahead and talk about what they're going to do there. Wouldn't it be cool if you could put your desktop computer in your pocket and take it with you wherever you go? Allowing you to access all your desktop programs and features on the fly. No more switching from desktop to laptop, to tablet, to iPad, and back again. Now, I'm not saying this is one ring to rule them all, probably, but it might make things more convenient. Best of all, if your 6-inch phone screen is getting a little hard to read, just plug the HDMI port on your phone into a 32-inch monitor or TV and dock a keyboard and mouse up, and voila, the desktop again. And all you have to do is learn Ubuntu. This is where we're going. I'm hoping that, You know, a lot of people, certainly that my age, that remember Pong and the evolution to where we are now. There has been a steady evolution to have more power in a smaller device. That it just, the only thing is it gets to how big is the screen? You know, how big is the keyboard? How convenient is the navigation with the mouse or some kind of thing? It's not how small we can get the computer now. It's that it's too small. So what they need to do is, you know, have some kind of interface. Well, they have. A couple of years ago, it's a little, imagine a pen that has a little stand, like a little tripod. You know, it's just a pen, keeps in your pocket. You put it on the desk, and it's a tower. It just stands there about 8 inches high. Well, it has a little LED laser camera, whatever the heck it is, a laser thing. It goes down, and it projects a keyboard on the table. Just a projection. And it reads where your fingers are, where you're typing, you know, just by, you know, light sensors. So as you're typing on the desk, it's like air guitar. It's like air computer. And you're typing, it goes to the display that is projected onto the wall, you know, from the same pen on the other side. So you have this pen, a little tripod, you set it up on a desk, boom. Keyboard's there, and it projects, you know, 40 inches wide or whatever on the wall in front of your desk. That's your computer. That's where we're going. The only reason, and they already have it, the only reason they're doing it, I don't think it, you know, you need to get it bright enough. When can it be used? How portable is it? Is it functional? Is the keyboard work? I mean, it's here we go. It's coming. The size of things is going to get very, very, very small to do a lot of stuff. Every time this happens, all I can think of, all I can see is how much more productive and capable that an individual is, how much faster, how much cheaper, how much speed. You can put more minds into this neural net called the Internet of Humanity. If I was a bad guy, I don't know what how I would even compete with that. I mean, you want to shut it down? Do you want to control? Biggest thing they want to do is surveil. They don't even know where to put a hurdle or roadblock or stop something. They don't even know where. You know, so they just, you don't want to look at everything, and but maybe we can figure it out. We got to, you know, control the sheep, man. The sheep, you know, it's farm wars. The sheep are starting to get guns. they know where to throw wrenches. I mean, you know, what's going on? So this is now if you can start having to wear an open source software operating system that will combine all of your devices into one and you just keep getting smaller or bigger. Now you just have the computer go because I'm dealing with it right now. You know, like get this computer all one computer and your computer be the size of a pen and this is your computer. Now, there is, a lot of people on the weekends, they don't understand why I put a lot of this stuff up. On the weekends, we put up a lot of technology and so on, and we get kind of caught up on different, you know, Wired Magazine, a technology review from MIT, Popular Science, Space, you know, .com, you know, a lot of technical things and material development and so on, different like graphene and carbon paper and all this kind of stuff. So the reason is because it gives you a foundation understanding of the new materials and capabilities and what's going to happen. They're getting down to they can do transistors the size of atoms. We are going to have the capacity of, you know, first it's going to be, okay, we have the computing capacity, supercomputers of the brain of a mouse. Well, that's soon going to be the brain of a human. And sooner or later, the internet, Skynet, will get in and decide our fate in a nanosecond. And, you know, and the nukes start flying because a computer war machine said so. And sooner or later, we're going to have computers that will eventually become some version of self-aware. We got to be ready for this kind of stuff. We got to be ready. All of a sudden, decisions being made. Because think about how Washington works. They just do whatever they're told. Heck, they're already run by computer number generating polls. You know, they try to manipulate that and do it. You know, what happens when the computer just starts going, yep, this is what this, it just manipulates people in the media. And so, heck, a computer could be running the planet now. You don't even know it. So there has to be a fundamental thing of humanity that, you know, we deserve to be free. And it's a thou shalt not aggress, man. You know, I don't care if you're, you know, Transformer, or a race of Autobots or whatever. Come, you know, just are you for leave me alone? Okay. We can be buds. It's all good. So this is a foundational thing that I think is what's driving the revolution, the levolution worldwide. And it's from the ability to do so with technology. That's what's changed. And that was part of our conversation last night, was I'm going, you know, things have changed. I mean, people haven't changed, but the power of the individual has, and the speed of which we react to this stuff. And the bad guys, you know, they have to insert themselves somehow. How? They got to change us as a biological unit. I mean, they got to poison us. It's got to be, you know, the air, the water, the food, the television to pollute us through our eyes and ears. There's got to be some kind of change that they can change us fundamentally as human beings, because human beings aren't meant to live this way. It hasn't worked in the past. I mean, you know, that's one thing Butler Schaefer, he always said. He goes, you say crime doesn't pay? Well, bad guys, it always pays. You know, that's what government does, because it pays. The heck it doesn't pay. It always pays. You gotta stop it from paying. That's what we're working on. Stop, you know, the benefit. Take the cream away. Stop, you know, gotta learn. You gotta at least know what they're doing and why. And then what kind of impact can you have on it? So that's, you know, what we're all about. Just making sure we're informed. I mean, there's a lot of things happening. You go to Freedom's Phoenix, I could spend entire shows on every freaking story. You know, this, what we do with the show is not the same thing that we do with the site. You know, we're talking about the why. You know, the what, how, and who. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. We'll be right back with Jordan and Adam.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, you're declared. In studio with us is Keith Cernick and Aunt Jordan Page, and via Skype is Mr. Adam Kokesh. Adam versus the man. And you know, versus the man, you know, more than, you know, going to Washington, D.C., say I verse you. Okay? Well, he versed him. So let's go ahead and go to Adam. Let me pull you up here. I got you there, Adam?
Yes, you do, Ernie. Thank you so much for having me on, and I apologize, as you can hear. My voice is still not being all that it can be from Monday, but it was quite an intense day and certainly well worth it.
You know, Jordan said that your voice was whacked, and then you tried to sing.
Yeah, and we made it a lot worse.
That's not true. You did great, Adam.
You know, so this is you know, we got on YouTube. Donna has it up on today's show. You want to see Adam sing? Go to freedomsphoenix.com and you go look up there on today's show, and he be singing. You know, so Jordan had nothing but good to say about this thing. He was like, man, the energy was high. And, you know, so tell me, I mean, that's really Adam versus the man. You got to be on. I mean, I know you think it's safer to be on top of the list, but don't you think if you're not on top of the list, you're near the top? I mean, you know, this has to have gone. It couldn't have gone without being noticed by the man.
Well, being there, we had 320 veterans in that formation. Veterans in active duty, and there were, you know, trying to put a number, but it was a significant chunk of that formation that was active duty, somewhere between, you know, a fifth and a quarter. I mean, it was a significant number. You know, two of our squad leaders, our guide, were active duty, and being surrounded by the kind of love that we had there, the intense passion of so many troops for this message, I feel like the safest person on earth right now after the president. In fact, I feel more safe because, you know, we're going after him. He's not coming after us, and he knows better. And, you know, I read a letter of warning to him at our rally before we marched on the White House on Monday, and said that if anybody in this formation, if any of these guys here are hurt or suffer any kind of repercussions for speaking out and exercising their right to freedom of expression, that it will be revisited tenfold upon the Obama administration, and that any repercussions that they face will be far, far worse for the Obama administration, because every soldier that they're able to take out of our movement or out of our formation because they don't like what they're doing, he'll be replaced with 10 more. And, you know, I mean, not to brag for me, but I do want to share my personal favorite moment from Monday night. And it was really, it wasn't anything that flashy or any part of the event, but in a conversation I had with an active duty Marine Corps Lance Corporal who works, I'll just say, in the intelligence community and has access to CIPRNet, nothing else to reveal his identity, but CIPR, the government secret internet. And
there's a government secret internet.
Yeah, it was the things that he said that he saw there about things that weren't getting aired publicly that converted him and that got him turned on to Ron Paul. But what he said that was so encouraging and meaningful to me, I guess, was that he was in a unit with about 520 Marines, and he said every single one of them knew me by name, and as a result, most of them were Ron Paul supporters.
And we wield this sword in what way?
Wield the sword?
Well, the support that you have, the influence that you have. I mean, this is an influential position, and the big bad guys, they don't like people, you know, having this much influence. I tell you what, you're right. If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. I think it's safer. Right up until it's not. Okay? You know, and I'm looking at, you know, the whole thing, and we're trying, and Jordan, you know, I've seen even the evolution. I've known both of you guys before everybody knew both of you guys, you know, and I saw in both Jordan and you what was going to happen. And I'm going, you know, now, let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to be way up here, and then the decision's going to be made that they're going to have to stay on top of the list, because if you don't stay up there, then, you know, the elephant never forgets. And they'll get you one way or another.
Yeah, that's dangerous, and that's so compelling and motivating, and that's what's so incredible about the world that we live in, and that system, and that once you wake up and you can't go back to sleep and you get yourself on one of those government lists, you just keep going for the top. Because if you drop off that list, it means that you don't come back. It means that you disappear. It means that the government keeps you out of the game one way or another. So the other option is to keep crawling for the top, to keep clawing up to the top, and saying I'm gonna be taking out the biggest.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot.
I'm gonna be taking out the chunks of the system.
Well, you know, before we get to the break, I will get to Jordan in the next break, but I want to kind of get an idea from you. Did Ron Paul's campaign have anything to say about this, to do with it, to participate, or did they just keep doing what you're doing, we'll keep doing what we're doing? I mean, what kind of relationship was there between the campaign and your effort?
None specifically on this, and I think that's important and that's appropriate that the campaign not be officially involved in something like this. It's kind of like super PAC activity. You want it to be independent and uncoordinated with the campaign, not just for legal reasons and you know, for what we're doing. You know, I have an LLC that I run my business through, Adam versus the Man LLC. And, you know, financially speaking, we did this Veterans for Ron Paul March as a project of Adam versus the Man LLC. So in a sense, we're taking advantage of the super PAC laws without being a super PAC with that.
It's called the First Amendment. You get to do what you want.
Exactly. You know, and I agree with the Citizens United case. I think it's the right decision. Technically speaking, it was just the wrong timing. You should have taken away the Supreme Court should have dismantled the other elements of corporatism before acknowledging that corporations are an acceptable way for people to express themselves, which they are entirely. Corporations are groups of people, essentially, as long as I understand they're legal entities with special rights. But what they really represent is groups of people, and you can't give them special rights and you can't take away those rights. And, you know, we're exercising those. And I think what we're going to be able to do, though, like I said on Monday, this was the big announcement. What you saw with that formation was just the warm up. And that event came together because a month and a half, two men, myself and Nathan Cox, decided that this was something that had to happen. And when we made this announcement Monday night, it seemed people were with me on this. We're starting with 300, and we've got 6 months to make this one a success. We are going to be there at the RNC as Veterans for Ron Paul 2012, marching in formation. And if the Republican Party wants to nominate anyone other than the choice of the troops, they're going to have to do it right in our faces and show us that they don't care, that they don't support the troops, or they can nominate Ron Paul.
Wow. Ouch. 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 You know, before we go into the break real quick, have you ever seen the movie Sir, No, Sir?
Yes, I have. I think it's a very, very critical documentary and very important part of the untold history of the story of the Vietnam War.
Well, I was reminded by, you know, the parallels between what you did and kind of what was going on then. So we have it and we pass it out a lot and make hundreds of them, and we'll have them tonight for the crowd and everything. And we made Jordan stay up and watch it last night. And he's just like, wow, you know, and that, you know, wow. Because you guys are creating the same kind of history and the opportunity for the troops to actually be represented. And who, I'm going to go out and kill, and die, kill. In the name of what? For what? You know, this is Adam Kokesh, Adam versus the Man, has given them a focus, has given them an opportunity to express themselves. Big bad guys don't like that. You know, they don't like it a bit. We'll talk about it more with Jordan Page when we come back.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Jordan Page, and on Skype video, we have Mr. Adam versus the Man Kokesh. Now, a couple of things real quick. We got to take care of some business here. One thing, you know, Mr. Keith Cernick, I need to know, what did you bring for us today?
I brought two huge speakers for Jordan, and the sound system goes up to 11.
So we're going, this is one thing, Jordan, he's all, well, am I going to be amped Thursday? I need to be amped. I'm not amped enough. My manhood needs to be amped. And I'm going, you know, we like him acoustically. He's sitting there shaking his head. You know, I'm just going, anyway. So I'm going, we're going to get him all amped up. We're going to go get 11. So
don't believe the hype, folks.
Well, let's put it this way. He's going, yeah, believe it, because Thursday we're going to rock the farm. You know, so Keith has brought that, and we may be able to take it into the RV when we go down there, so you'll have some additional options when you go play around the whatever. We just got to do bass, you know. Here we have, you know, the Rebel Bass, all right? So we're going to be down there in the Rebel Bass, and we're going to do live coverage, live streaming of various events. Just check out, you know, throughout Freedom's Phoenix when we'll have it on, blah, 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 try and fill in the time, have the activists come in and do whatever, and we'll do 5 minutes, 10 minutes here, an hour, 2 hours, whatever I feel like. You know, and then it creates a file on DCast, and you can just go and watch the different coverage that we're doing there, because we want to be ready, because, you know, the big bad guys are being big bad. They do whatever, and we just want to have a conduit jacked into the matrix so that, you know, done. But Thursday, tomorrow is just relax and partay. Keith brought a sound system so that, you know, people up close and personal can get the full effect of Jordan Page, because I tell you,
The first time that I saw Jordan unplugged and really experienced his raw talent was on Adam Kokesh's rooftop in Santa Fe. Do you remember that, Adam?
Absolutely. It was an incredible moment. Every now and then I see photos pop up on Facebook of that, and it brings back great memories.
And you know, and they did the next day. He did the concert at the community college there for your campaign. And Donna sprinted. You know, after it was over, she ran up front. She, we got to get Jordan for the Freedom Summit. He's got to play. And I'm like, already done, baby. It's all good. Don't worry about it. So go ahead and tell me real quick. You know, was everybody on their best behavior? Did this go as well as you thought it would? Was there something else you would have done different? I mean, what are you building to?
I think this was amazing. You know, like I said, we had a couple of really minor glitches, things that we were able to overcome. We had a couple of people pulling some squirrely stuff during the ceremony for the White House. A couple of people with some signs that shouldn't be there. And they actually backed off when they saw the power of the event of you know, hundreds of veterans standing in silent prayer. That, you know, everything went according to plan. The support there was incredible. The formation was massive. The voices were strong. Everybody was well behaved, you know, in terms of our actual veteran and active duty participants. We had our security team was on point with everything. So I, you know, the police, you know, there were a couple like minor hassles here and there, but you know, they let us do our thing. And they helped us. They did their job looking out for the public safety first, and that was they did that. They let us at the last minute even march down Constitution Avenue, and you know, they complained about it, but they let us do that so we could get lined up for the charge to the Washington Monument.
Yeah, I saw back. This video is charge, you know, instead of dismissed or whatever, and that's why your voice so jacked up. You're barking Marine orders all the time, but you know, this charge up the hill to Washington Monument, you know, what was up with that? I mean, and there's some older guys too. They're like, "Eh, I'm getting to that top of that hill, eh." You know what I mean? It was fun.
It was a blast. And really for me, I thought that would just be a fun way to end the event on a positive note instead of the somber note, although that really wasn't a problem because as soon as we pulled away from the White House, everybody was screaming President Paul at the top of their lungs. It was beautiful. I'm actually going to be releasing the audio from that separately by request so that someone can make it into a ringtone. Hundreds of veterans chanting President Paul.
Oh, the creativeness does not stop. This is, I mean, you know, you and Jordan both are really good examples of the next generation next, as I call it, you know, manifesting itself in this kind of expression. It's got to have an impact on the bad guys. And I'm just, you know, are you... how optimistic are you for real change? Are you just kind of staking out your position now for the future? Or, I mean, what do you expect to happen?
Oh, you know me, Ernie. I'm very optimistic in the long run. You know, I might in the short term, in the midterm, I can be a realist. And I understand that long term, it's a process of two steps forward, one step backwards. And you could say that starting in 1913, we began a major step backwards. And of course, that process happens on multiple layers at the same time. We've had some great steps forward during that period, massive steps forward. But in a way, governmentally, socially, in terms of organization, distribution of resources, with the Federal Reserve, we're in the middle of a major, major step backwards. And the fact that, you know, I didn't even, for me, the ending the Fed is a very, very, very important issue. But, you know, right up there with ending the wars. But I didn't even have it on my mind at all. But then we had the formations you can see in my video from youtube.com/AdamKokesh or AdamVersusTheMan.com that they were chanting end the Fed. And it was beautiful. You could hear it echoing off the buildings in the streets of D.C. on Monday. And, you know, because it's such a compelling issue. So,
So who's scared? Yeah. I mean, who cares? Are they concerned that the lamestream media, the media sued last century? Did they seek you out for interviews? Did you get
no,
done?
Well, I did one soundbite with an NBC cameraman that said he was there for the pool today or something, but nobody really covered it. That's the thing is they all had the footage available. It was all right there. It was all publicly available. And they had a cameraman representing the pool. I don't know who he said he was working for AP and a bunch of different people that the video was going to be for. And they turned it down. But, you know, and a lot of people were upset. A lot of people were saying, well, CNN wasn't there because they were covering the veterans events for Romney, Santorum, and Gingrich, right?
Yeah. Tell me, I know you're going to go back to bed because you're a slacktivist. So when you do, you go back to bed, you know, I want you to go ahead and tell me, you know, what you're...
Let me just finish this one thought because I want to say that people shouldn't be surprised that mainstream media ignored this event. And I think if anything, you can show the clips side by side and say, look, here's what 300 veterans marching on Barack Obama looks like. Here's what they put on the mainstream media. Here's what news they actually brought you. And then, by the way, there are outlets like Freedom's Phoenix. There's Ernie Hancock and Declare Your Independence. And you get a much better sense of the world and what's going on from listening to guys like that than from tuning into the lamestream media, as he would call it. So listen to Ernie. If you like the fact that you heard about this event, don't get angry. Get even.
Get creative. You know, I tell you, before you go, Jordan's got a really good story talking about his father. Did he share that with you? I mean, is that awesome or what? No, we lost you. We don't have the audio. Hey, you know, hey, it's great for you guys. You guys did a great job. Please, as you progress in your efforts, let us know what's going on. We're going to be covering it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Phoenix, Arizona, having a good old time and getting ready. Yep, okay, we went and saw Keith Cernick's, goodies. Now, the deal that he made, he make it available so that we could rock out tomorrow night, you know, but we may be putting it in the RV, you know, the mobile assault vehicle or whatever you want to call it, the studio. Yep, uh-huh. And we'll go ahead and take it down in case Jordan needs it to, magnify his guitar. So we'll go ahead and get them all set up and everything. It's just, you know, it's all like not too scripted and we get it taken care of. But is he make you happy, Jordan? He's got enough goodies out there?
I'm very happy. I'm way less nervous about it now.
That's always you, about, you know, give me wires and stuff and got to amp it up. And the thing was is that, but it's not until you hear Jordan acoustically, just sitting there without all the whiz wang bangs, you know, that you realize how talented he is.
Yeah, the whiz wang bangs would make a great name for a band.
You know, you're right. You're right.
That'd be
Jordan Page and the whiz wang bangs, you know. So the one thing that I want to make sure that we get to before we run out. I want you to tell the audience and Keith your story. You know, you went to this thing, and
I did.
Your parents live in Maryland, so they're not too far away. And you go, "Hey, Dad, I need a ride, man."
I did. You know, it's Monday was a life changing day for a lot of folks, and props go to Adam and Nathan for putting this on because. So many people were moved so deeply by it, including myself. And, you know, my father's a Vietnam veteran, and we've always been very close until the last, you know, several years where, you know, we've really been divided on all the political stuff that I've been doing and positions I've been taking. You know, he just wasn't in the same place that I was. And, but he's been coming around over the last year and a half, you know, and he's starting to see the seriousness of all this and the truth about Ron Paul and he's been showing me little by little that he starting to understand. And so I came into town and I asked, you know, I stayed with my folks for the night, Sunday night. And I said, I need a ride to DC in the morning. I think you should come and check this out. And he said, okay, I'll come and check it out. And he just had a worldview changing experience listening to these veterans speaking up on stage and talking about Ron Paul and about the wars and what they will and will not do and what they will and will not stand for. And he was very moved. And by the end of the rally at the Washington Monument, I asked him I said, do you want to march? And he said, yeah, I think I do. And I'm going to go ahead. And so my father, who served in Vietnam in 1968 and 69, marched with the 320 veterans and and stood at attention and held the salute and stood in silent prayer with his comrades. And it was just an amazing moment for both of us. You know, I teared up several times just watching him. I was so never more proud to be his son. And I think he was pretty proud of me too. And there's this unspoken tension that we were both experiencing for a long time that just seemed to disappear. And when we said goodbye for the day, he and I we hugged and we said I love you, and it was like that tension was gone and we saw each other again, and it was just such a healing for both of us.
You know what comes to mind is the we're watching some of the video, you know, of. From Adam has the actual video of what you participated in, and it looks to me like it was bigger than 300-400 people.
I mean,
it's winding around the corner and so on.
Well, there were over 1,000 people marching, but as far as the actual formation of veterans, I think it was in the 300-400 range. But there were 1,000 people following them.
It looked impressive, and what you're describing with your father. You know, it's it was the point that they were trying to make in relationships in the movie Avatar, mm-hmm. where they're going, "I see you."
Sure, yeah.
You know,
and that's great.
And it wasn't
actually,
like, you know, it's not like I see into you, I see you, you're connecting. You know, mm-hmm. I see you again, and that's kind of the impression I get. You know, finally, you know, I see you, Dad.
Yeah.
You know,
well, he told me after the formation broke, he said, you know, I told him how proud I was of him. And he said, well, son, you know, I did this today, you know, because I get it now, you know, but I also did it for reasons that you wouldn't understand or that you don't know. So, you know,
wasn't he in Vietnam?
He was a sergeant in Vietnam. He was there. He fought in heavy combat, and yeah, he was there.
There are stories he doesn't want to share.
You know, there's a lot of stories he has shared, and there's I'm sure there's some that he'd rather forget that he can't, you know. I mean, I'm sure that's pretty typical of a lot of people that served. But he's, you know, he's really come to terms with it. He's actually written a play about Vietnam. It's like it's a musical, actually. I've been helping him with the music, and it's really brilliant. It's called The Nom, and he's hoping to have it finished by the end of the year. Yeah, it's really great. He's a lot of interest in it.
A musical Vietnam, is it? What is it? Anti-pro, just experience?
It covers all the perspectives. You know, the different characters. There's a core group of characters in the beginning. You know, in like, you know, late 1950s, early 1960s America, that were all these that were these friends, and they had different opinions, and most of them went to Vietnam. One of them didn't go. He was the protester, and one of them is. A fighter pilot, and one of them is goes into the Marines, and one of them goes into the Army, and it's their stories and how they all came together. It's all based on people that he knew and his own stories together, and it's really really powerful. We've had several read throughs, and it's a tearjerker, but it's also really funny and very very passionate and emotional story.
Wow, you know, this is we're going to have an interesting couple of days. We always do, you know, and but. You're kind of going, I know the position. I was about your age, had 4 young children. You have a 4th on the way, don't you?
I do. Due in April, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you're, you know, damn, okay?
I know.
You know, I know how it is, a bunch of young kids. And so I can understand the desire to protect them and their future. You know, Donna and I were the same way. We came across, the only difference is that we just... You know, just happened through personality and circumstances and so on. You got to see the big evil, you know, horn wearing, fang dripping, blood pointy tail people. I mean, from the beginning in government, you know, and I'm just going, wow, man, this is wow. So you take on what's my best action. Well, of course, I devoted to activism, exposing them, election law, all this kind of, you know, I was on a path. You know, do what you do with your music. But you're starting to get a dark side a little bit. You're kind of going, man, I'm just, you know, damn. I mean, explain to the audience, you know, what's going through your head.
Oh, that's a scary prospect.
Yeah, really. Quite a song.
Well, you know, Adam is really helping me to stay positive because I've been getting a little frustrated and a little pessimistic lately, but I know that, you know, that, like, everything that happens is, you know, that it ultimately is going to be for the glory of God, you know, and not for not for me or anyone else. I mean, this is all just a play that's just unfolding, and we're all just, you know, players in that.
All the world's a stage.
That's right. And I like my goal is, you know, your goal is to free minds. You know, I get that perspective from you. You know, you help me to see that. You and Adam have both been very influential in my life and helping me to figure out what it is that I'm actually supposed to be doing, you know, and giving it a focus. And I think freeing minds is the most important thing to affect any kind of real change, you know.
Well, you know, Keith, before we get to the break, you know, I want to, you know, how are you influenced by this whole thing? I mean, you know, you kind of, you know, live your life, enjoy it. I mean, it's all about the fun and the relationships and everything. I mean, are you optimistic, pessimistic, and how does Adam and Jordan influence what you do?
As long as Adam, Jordan, and you are around, I always have the, you know, the guys to bounce things off and just to keep the spirit going. Yeah. So I'm a little pessimistic, but when I hang out with you guys, it turns into optimism. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, let me tell you what my optimism comes from is that we're not going away. No fear. Because what's your choice? It's to cower on the ground and get noticed just standing up because everyone else is on their knees. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Nothing, which is what we try to depict in this last month's magazine, Freedom's Phoenix E-Zine, and it's a beautiful graphic. And what we did is we put it into one of those large posters again. And a banner, and it's going to be, it's like 7.5 feet tall. And we had the one, the Banksy photograph of the girl, the guy, well, it was our girl, throwing a bouquet of flowers at the Federal Reserve. And this is kind of the same thing. It's a love, not war, with the love logo. And where is the love? Yeah, the song. Where is the love? And her standing there holding the sign, Love Not War, and a bouquet of flowers, which we'll have, and people can do again, can take their picture with it this afternoon and this evening. So we're bringing that down. We got that done. We just picked it up last night. We got a bunch of printing done. We have, you know, that poster on the back of the Silver Calculator app. We're going to really be pushing the silver because we see that, certainly I do. I see it as a solution. It is the solution. It's why you got soldiers out there in formation chanting end the Fed. And Jordan was there, and Jordan, you got to help me out, man. You know, give me the flavor from the beginning to the end. You arrive and kind of walk me through it real quick, so we don't miss anything.
I showed up around, I want to say 11 o'clock, and there were already at least 400 or 500 people gathered at the base of the monument at the stage that was set up.
Washington Monument.
Excuse me. Yes. And, you know, I was already blown away, you know, and there were some technical issues with the sound system wasn't working properly, but everyone was just very quiet and listened to each speaker and gave, you know, like there were 20 people that won a YouTube video contest saying why they supported this event, and there lots of people did it, but 20 people got the highest number of votes on YouTube, and every one of those people got, you know, 5-10 minutes to speak, and they were either, you know, veterans or people who support this event, and there was just this fervor in the crowd that was really inspiring, positivity, and every branch of the military was represented. Adam would call out, "Do we have any Marines?" You know, and everyone would go, "Hooah!" And is there anyone in the Air Force? And they would shout, and it was just it was really incredible. And myself and James Grundler from Golden State and an amazing singer songwriter named Tatiana Moroz, we all, each of us, sang a song. Tatiana actually sang Bob Dylan's Masters of War, and James sang his Bombs song, and I sang my Light of Revolution song, which is a Ron Paul campaign song. And by that time, the sound system had totally crapped out. And so we all went to the edge of the stage and just sang out into the crowd a cappella with the guitar and just our own voices. And everyone just stayed completely silent during the song. And then at the end of each song, they just erupted. It was awesome. It was great.
You know, the feeling... Someone in that position having gone, and it gives you an idea of what may have happened in the Vietnam era as well. And then you have people from that were in Vietnam were there.
Sure, absolutely.
And then you have the Iraq and the commonality and the understanding. I would imagine that a lot of pain that a veteran had felt from Vietnam going there now and being around these young people that are able to express themselves and what's going on, I would imagine it was even added to the healing.
I think that was the case with my dad. You know, my dad's been very upset about the conflicts in Iraq because he's equated it to the same sort of thing that went on in Vietnam, and I've always agreed with that. And if he had that experience, I'm sure a lot of folks had that experience. There were a lot of older gentlemen there that were veterans, and I'm sure they came from that era. Actually, I'm 100% sure of it because Adam actually called out and asked if there were any Vietnam vets, and there was a huge response. So, I mean, I'm sure that this particular event meant a lot to them because, you know, the same things that they, you know, were put into combat for back in the 60s is, you know, it's just history repeating itself right now.
Yeah, more lie, do it again. Keith, yeah. You know, tell me, the war issue and soldiers in this event here, you know, from your I'm single out there party, having a good time and advocating for freedom, and maybe I'll make it to the debate party if I got a date. And then, you know, they kind of, you're out living your life and having fun with this. You know, how important is the war issue to you? I mean, is that a big part of it?
It's only the number one issue for me. It's 1988. I joined the United States Army Reserve. So watching the videos with Adam, it's, you know, I did an about face on the warmonger Obama. But if I were to talk to the mainstream media, they would say just the opposite. Oh, no, he's the change candidate. He's something different. And then, of course, if I talk to the Republican Party, who I see down here this afternoon at the debate, as I have a ticket, and we'll be supporting the doctor, huge. But they'll say, well, no, it's legitimate. We've got to defend ourselves. But, you know, spending $1 trillion. So I mentioned that to them and they say, well, it's money well spent. I mean, come on, people. You're not fiscally conservative.
So you're going into the debate.
Yeah, I've got a ticket. Yeah, nice. I didn't
want to
go.
Tell me everything.
Well, I bought a ticket for $215. Yeah, I know. Another gent, John Kulak, another guy in the Revolution, said, Keith, you got to go. And I said, I don't want to hang out with those neocons. But he said, you got to support Dr. Paul. And I said, well, okay. So I'm going to be
there. You put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you're going to, you got to go through the anal probe?
Oh, big
whatever?
Time, yeah. No, that we've got a few emails. I was asked a question. My question was something like, is being fiscally conservative, spending $1 trillion on the war, that's going to eventually, unfortunately, have thousands of men and women dead, and the grieving families, and then the post-traumatic stress disorders that the military men bring back, and then the families that have to be in that situation with the post-traumatic stress disorders. You have children being grown up without a father. You have mothers and wives without husbands who were different when they came back. And but it's all for the red, white, and blue. And, you know, it's for our freedom. And yeah. So,
well, I'm hoping that we... You know, oh, I got to tell you a story I just remembered. When we had the Patriots versus the Giants in the Super Bowl 4 years ago, that was here, Keith was in the end zone, and he could have got kicked out by doing being, he goes, no.
Well, they confiscated my sign. I had a sign in my leg, and they patted me down.
Oh, we were denied. So now you're going to be in there. So what streaker, you know, naked zombie dancing thing you going to do at the thing tonight?
Here's the deal, man. I'm going to look like a neocon Republican Santorum all the way. So hopefully they're going to put me in the front row, and I might take one for the team. I don't know, but you might hear my voice.
Let's hope so. All right.
Okay. So Jordan, this is you're coming into the center of the fray here. It's going to be the last debate. You know, it looks like, you know, I mean, until they say there's another one, and
which is very likely.
Which is you know, Paul starts surging. They're going to need to, you know, so I don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't know what's going on or how to deal with him. And so your enthusiasm for being here at this one, as with all the others, is what? I mean, you see your role as what?
My enthusiasm is for the message of freedom that Ron Paul encapsulates. You know, I mean, I'm very optimistic about his candidacy. I'm very optimistic about the campaign. And I've been supporting it, you know, since 2008, 2007, really, you know. And I haven't given up hope in the last 3-4 years, and I've just kind of kept the torch burning. I'm here to make sure that people know who he is, that people know what he stands for. You know, every time I go out to eat, I hand the waiter or waitress a Ron Paul tax-free tips card, and he, you know, and every time I go out to eat, someone is converted because that's an issue that means something to them. You know, I'm always trying to find ways to show people how, you know, this gentleman, this statesman, stands for them and stands for their freedom and what they're dealing
with.
Wow,
it sounds like you should write a song.
Maybe I should.
Songs. The power of emotion. You know, songs have a major impact on the way we think and see things. It'll manifest itself in us. You know, and Jordan's songs, we have some albums left. You know, we bought a whole bunch of them. We've been giving them out everywhere. And I kind of been holding them in reserve. I got a small stack of, I don't know, less than 20. But because we bought hundreds. I mean, we have a lot of these. And we use them judiciously. Well, tonight, here they go. Well, put them in the vending machine. Dollar. You know, boom, done. Yeah, so I don't have to worry about it. Well, we'll go ahead and make sure you stay tuned. We're going to have Brad Friedman on, you know, give a left perspective and election fraud and so on. And then, of course, throughout the day, we're going to be live streaming whenever we find something of interest. Keep checking it out on Freedom's Phoenix.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
It's me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And inside our studio is Mr. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Now, Brad and I have known each other for quite a while, and our interests overlap. And he, you know, he was like, hey, man, we got to go get this election fraud and doing you know, go get him. I go, no, you're on the internet taking it. That's one less thing I got to do. I'm going, no, you do it.
Because I'm here, you get the day off. Is that what it is? You get the year
Hell
off.
Hell yeah.
Because I get, okay, thanks.
Exactly.
Oh, thanks for nothing, Ernie. Appreciate
exactly.
That.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this for a long, 20-something years, and I'm just going, so when Brad hit the scene, and he's going, look, everybody, look at this, and I'm going, yeah. What he said, go look.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think you should look at what Brad Friedman says. Well, we put a lot of stuff up on Freedom's Phoenix. I bet you get a lot of hits coming from Freedom's Phoenix.
You do, we do. I thank you for, is my mic working properly?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I thank you for that. Yeah, you pick up a lot of stuff we do at bradblog.com. Greatly appreciate it, spreading the good news.
And every now and then you'll have me come on your, you know, commie liberal soci radio
right.
shows and whatever, you know.
And you come on the air and you make up stuff about Obama's taking away our guns and
he's not done.
The government is, never mind that he's actually expanding gun rights and that they're coming down, they're cracking down on the
you
militia
heard
movements.
It here.
Never mind that, you know, he couldn't seem to care less.
I tell you what the buzz is.
What's
going on? Here's the buzz.
What's the buzz?
Fast and Furious was such a big deal, and it gets hammered on so much.
Huge fake controversy.
That there, a fake?
Huge fake controversy. Go
All
ahead.
All right. No. You got to tell me why it's huge and fake.
Tell me. Well, it's this big fake gun running controversy that they had. The Bush administration had a similar program going on years earlier. No one gave a damn about it. Fox News couldn't care less about it. Now all of a sudden they discover it going on during the Obama administration. Oh, it's
you're
the
confusing
worst thing
me with someone
ever
who gives a crap what Fox says.
No, but my point is, where were you? Why weren't you complaining about Bush
didn't
administration?
Know about it.
Right. Why didn't you know about it?
What difference does it make?
Well, because it was kind of a either a stupid program or not a stupid program, depending on how you look at it. But it was a law enforcement that is done all the time, and you know it's all of a sudden
that's
it's an issue because it's under Obama. When it was under Bush, no one gave a damn about it.
I think if they'd known, they'd gave a damn.
No, they wouldn't have.
Vote me as give a damn.
They, not only would they have not have given a damn, but, you know, the thing is, they won't enforce gun laws as they are. They won't increase gun laws as they are. They have huge loopholes as they are. So for all of these Republicans to all of a sudden give a damn that, you know, Mexicans are coming in and buying guns and bringing them across the border, they never cared
before. You know what another word for loopholes is?
What's that?
Freedom.
Okay, fine. That's fine. But if you're in favor of freedom to let anybody come in and buy guns without background checks
Hammers.
And everything else, don't be so upset
Rakes.
When people actually do it. Why are they upset now that Mexicans are coming in, buying guns, taking them back? That's what they want.
You know,
another word for that,
my
Ernie?
Thing,
freedom.
My yeah. My
thing, isn't it? Isn't it freedom?
I'm not even sure what you mean. What?
Mexicans
to buy
come
guns?
In, buy guns, take them across the border. Freedom, right?
Yeah.
So what's your problem with it?
I don't have a problem.
That's what I thought.
You know, my thing with the Fast and Furious is that, well, aside
Which
from the
Which is why I said it's a
aside
fake.
Aside from the tax money thing, is that you have an agency that you know why they did it. They wanted to do it because they wanted to have some kind of an issue, a wraparound, an ability to amp up for more gun control and close the gun show loophole kind of thing. So you're saying, now this is where Brad and I differ.
All right.
Brad says that the Obama administration or the progressive whatever he represents, or even Brad's preference himself, is not to close down the ability for people just to simply trade firearms. You're saying that is a loophole that should be closed.
Well,
or not.
I'm not an expert in gun laws, but I do think that it's reasonable.
I got a gun right over here. Where is it? It's right next to my heart.
I have no problem.
You give me $300, boom, I give you that handgun. It's all legal, and you think that should remain the law or not?
Now, do you have a terrorist background? Are you on the watch list that you can't get on a plane?
So,
hang on. Are you on the watch list so you can't get on a plane?
Or
not you,
know.
But anybody. Okay, as far as I know. So then why should you be allowed to buy a gun? If you can't get
why
on a plane.
Why shouldn't I? Can I buy a hammer?
Okay. No, I have no problem.
Can I buy a cell phone?
I
use it as a detonator.
Now, have you been in jail? Are you crazy? Are you psychotic?
Does
it matter?
Who gets to decide this?
Does it matter? Well, if you have a felony conviction, It's been decided in a court of law that you're a felon. If you're on a watch list, and by the way, I don't think they should put people on watch lists like that.
Is when you got released from the Yuma Territorial Prison, they gave you $20 and a Winchester. I mean, you know, it's kind of like...
Is that what they gave you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
There was, you know, it's like you get the, you know, we're going to put you out in the desert with nothing. But the, but you can't vote.
You can have a gun, but certainly, you can't cast a vote.
But certainly they wouldn't deny you the ability to go down and buy a Winchester.
Well, right.
So the thing is that, you know, the Fast and Furious is back and forth, now it's quit it. No, it's just hypocrisy. It's that they did everything they could to create the problem that they were there to stop so they could use it politically to get more gun control.
No, you're giving
them... So they don't want more gun control. You want to be able to background
everybody. Two separate issues, Ernie. Hang on. Two separate issues. To say they did everything they could because it's this grand scheme to, in the end, we're going to get great gun control because of this measure.
I believe that. Yes, I do.
They're not that smart.
They're that stupid.
Well, if they... That's right. They are pretty stupid. And if they wanted to push for gun control, they would go out and push for gun control. They don't need to create this great scheme. We're going to run this.
I've not even trying.
We're going to run this scheme for several years, and then we're going to have someone discover it, and then we're going to let it come out on Fox News, and then we're going to use it in order to increase gun control laws. Come on, you say they're so stupid, and yet you give them this amazing credit to pull off this extraordinary conspiracy.
I don't know if they pulled it off that well.
Well, you're saying they did.
They've been trying and do it. I tell you what, I'll give you personal experience.
All right.
The BATF office here, there was a thing called Project Lead to where they were, you know, to get, during the Clinton administration, to get guns off the street. They wanted to be able to go up to young gang members and say, yeah, where's your guns, and take their guns. And then they wanted to put their name on a piece of paper and all their associates and cars traveling and all this kind of stuff. And it was called Project Lead. Mm-hmm. And what it was is a gun registration for guns that were not registered, you know, to just free trade out all these guns. They wanted a way, anytime a law enforcement came in touch with the citizenry, you know, traffic stop or whatever, do you have a gun on you? Here's the serial number. And what it was a forward tracing form. When they get in a gun that's involved in a crime and it goes into the locker, you know, and they sign it in and all that, they do what they call a forward tracing form so they can go to the manufacturer, sold it to what, you know, distributor and wholesaler and retail and went, you know, that's what that yellow form is all about.
Right.
So they were trying to take that form and put it into the field. It's called Project Lead, and it was going Detroit and New York, Atlanta, L.A., that kind of thing. And Sheriff Joe Arpaio screaming, oh, yeah, bring it on, Arizona. Man, we love this. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Sheriff Mack, during the time when he was doing his challenge to the Brady Law and all this other background check stuff, he gave us the actual copy. We had a fax of a copy of a fax, and he gave us the actual copy. We called the BATF, and we go, hey, man, are you guys really doing this? You're out there, and he goes, oh, it's not for people like you. And I go, it's for people exactly like me. They want to register all the guns.
You've gone back 15 years to come up with an example for the Clinton administration about how your freedoms
stopped?
Are being taken away.
Has it stopped?
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E. Fashioning the silver economy, a meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info. And get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here to Stan Cock and my very, 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 very special guest and semi-friend, Brad Friedman.
Okay? Semi.
Semi.
At the beginning of the hour, I was your friend.
No!
you did in the off-out.
Now I'm getting fired.
Yeah, fired. You freaking communist.
But you're enemy by the end of this.
The one thing that...
Another word for communists is freedom.
Yeah. Freedom is slavery. Obedience is, right. You know, whatever. That's okay, right. Mr. Orwell here. Right. You know, the one thing is that, you know, I think where we overlap is our desire to be accurately represented. If you're going to have this voting, you know, government thing, yeah. And you're going to do this voting thing, mm-hmm. You know, you and I are wavelength, you know, simpatico on that. Is like, hey, can we have this accurate? And if it's not, the legitimacy of all this stuff is, you know,
yeah.
You know, it means nothing.
Right.
I've gone another step further in saying, even if it was accurate, you know, I'm kind of, you still don't rule me, you know.
Right.
So your position has been, and we'll get into, you know, like your impression of the campaigns and the Republicans and what's going on here. And you're way up in the Northwest Valley, so you're not getting the big dose of the signs and so on. But my thing is that I've kind of gone past the point that even if it was accurate, mm-hmm. I'm not willing, and that's what this Republic thing was about. Is that I'm not willing to put my life, liberty, property in the hands of the mob. You mm-hmm. know, I'm just not. So your perspective is, I want to ask you this,
yeah.
And you can relate this to the audience. If you got what you wanted, and it was accurate, paper, pencil, counted right there at the end of the kind of,
right
man,
there
you and I
precinct.
Are on that. Yeah. The only way to do it. You
right.
can blah, 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 computer, and we did, and right. check, and not, don't mean nothing. Mm-hmm. You give me some paper. You do that, and even then, we see it through the Dr. Paul's, all these races, that they're just reporting the wrong number. You know, I mean, they just make it up as they go along. We knew this would happen.
Yeah, so, sort of.
So my thing, well, I did. Not down
well, I
my
mean,
mind.
Mistakes or nefariousness happens. The good news is, in places like Iowa, for example, because you did hand-counted paper ballots at the precinct, people can then step forward and say, no, I was there. Mitt Romney didn't get 22 votes.
But what were they doing in Maine? They were saying, no, don't publicly count these. We don't want any evidence of it being like, we're just going to fill in blanks and you just play along.
Well, and this, listen, bad guys can do that if we let them do that. That's why you and I both fight for, if you're going to have an election, okay. you count it publicly, and it makes it very difficult for the bad guys to get away with that
but
sort
now,
of crap.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Okay, let's assume right. that we got it right.
Okay.
They get it correct.
Okay.
You're of the opinion, I would imagine, that if the people are able to represent themselves at the ballot box,
yeah.
that maybe, probably in your mind, if not they would, they certainly should have a more progressive mindset of how best society should be structured, a social and economic engineering to the maximum benefit of the maximum blah, blah, blah,
no,
blah,
no,
blah.
No, 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 no.
Well, you'll get to explain yourself.
Okay.
But my position is, yeah. is that what if in that situation, all of a sudden everybody becomes a Ron Paul supporter and freedom, and they want to dismantle and do away with, mm-hmm. and the youth is like, you know, you're not taking my Social Security anymore, I don't yeah. want that personal income tax, I don't, and done, and freedom, and everybody gets their own AK-47 at yeah. birth, okay?
Yeah.
And then what?
What's the problem with that?
Okay, I'm good.
We get the government that we want in a democracy in theory, okay? And that has to do with, as you said, do away with all the crap, with all the voting machine garbage and the stuff that we can't oversee. If we have a democracy that we can then oversee, we can count our own ballots, we can know that the winner won, we get the government that we deserve. If it's Ron Paul and he's terrible, that's what we chose. We have only ourselves to blame. If it's anybody, George W. Bush, and he's terrible, we have only ourselves. If it's Obama, and he's terrible, whatever. We get the government that we elect, in theory. And that's what I fight for. So, I'm not trying to control the people. If the people want Ron Paul as their president, if they want a guy who's going to get us out of foreign wars, thank you. If they want a guy who's going to hand over the rest of the country to corporations, no thank you. That's up to the people. And, you know, that's what we'll have. So, no, I'm not. I'm fighting for the people to make their choice. I'm not fighting to tell them they should have my point of view. That's not what democracy is about. Where did you get that idea, Ernie?
From me. I'm fighting for everybody to have my point of view.
I'm just not using force.
Ah, I see.
No, no, it's persuasion. I mean, that's what the whole First Amendment, the whole expression thing is. That's what I advocate for, is that expression.
And,
that's
and
why
you do. And
I'm putting signs on the road. You want to know when I vote?
Yeah.
I vote with a sign, man. Big freaking 80-foot signs.
And you know what? I really don't do that. I would love to have the freedom to do that someday. But right now, I'm stuck just fighting for people to have a voice, whatever that voice is, whether it's your, you know. I always feel that, you know, people say, oh, who are you supporting in this next election? To me, I'm supporting no one other than the voters. It seems to me the candidates each have plenty of supporters. The people who don't have supporters are the voters themselves.
Okay, no, I'm with you on that, but that's why you and I crossed, you know, purposes on this. I mean, you know, we were overlapped, and I want to, you know, see what kind of successes you've had, because you have exposed. I tell you, if you want to know what's going on in the certainly in the United States, in what is happening on the election fraud front, you know, Brad Blog's where you go. You know, I mean, you're not going to miss a whole lot by going to Brad Blog. Now, there, of course, is, you know, you have your other, you know, make your progressive buddies happy stuff, you know, but
what do you say for that? I've been fighting for, you know, I've been condemning the media when they come out, when they ignore Ron Paul. I've been condemning the Republicans when they treat him like he's from Mars. And I know you love to hook into this idea. You think I'm progressive and
let's go to your page.
You
I didn't look at it.
Go ahead.
And we'll see.
You think that's somehow in conflict with what you believe in? I'm fighting for democracy. I'm fighting for voters. I'm fighting for a media that doesn't suck, that doesn't lie, that doesn't cheat and scheme.
You definitely got a thing against Breitbart.
Huh? Against Breitbart? Well, yeah, because he's a liar.
Okay.
He's a liar. He's a scoundrel. He's a con man.
I'm with you on that.
All right,
you know,
so what's
but
your problem?
It's not just because it's a perspective. You really are hammering.
I call out
on
the con men. You got a problem with that, Ernie?
No.
I didn't think so.
On Santorum, man, you got it. What's your thing with Santorum specifically as a candidate? You dislike him?
No, I don't have a specific dislike.
Yeah,
to him
a lot
as a candidate.
Reasons,
I have. Yeah, I mean, he's a jackass for one. He comes out and says science isn't real, and you know that's probably something we can get into. That's probably something we can argue about. But he comes out and he says that the Earth could not survive without man here to take care of it. That nature on its own is a disaster, and therefore we should have no EPA regulation. We should leave it up to the Bible to determine if we get to breathe clean air and drink clean water. I mean, it's insane. He's a crazy man. He's on a jihad against science.
Well, what about
Romney? I got a problem with that.
Well, what about Romney?
What about him?
What about Gingrich? What about Paul? I mean,
yeah,
you have
Gingrich?
A favorite in these guys?
If I had to choose between those four, if there was a gun to my head, if you had that gun sitting on your desk at my head, well, in this studio, I'd have to choose Ron Paul, wouldn't I? There you go. I'd have no choice.
Normally, my gun's on the desk. It's not here now. I got to go find it.
If I don't choose Ron Paul. No, in truth, no, I'll tell you my opinion about these candidates. All four of them stink. Three of them are liars. The other one is Ron Paul. He tells the truth as he sees it. I think that's great. I wish the other three were
But when we come back, you know, Brad Friedman is going to help us understand, you know, the truth that Ron Paul speaks as he sees it. He does or doesn't agree, and why?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Listen to the sound that you hear, like an echo in your head. There's a strange vibration rising now from the heart of America, America. Listen to the sound of a drum calling players to the game of the new world order. Don't be caught unaware when the heads start rolling. Here, I know it wouldn't happen here. I will not submit to authority of man. I'm alive, I'm awake. This is more than I.
Let me think. Yes, they would. And I'm just, my whole thing is can we, how do you stop them? And it stops supporting the beast that's devouring you. You know, and this is, and Brad, I'm not sure how you see it. Is it the government, is it a beast, a servant, a tool? I mean, what are you trying to make it?
Yes, all of the above. It is, the government is what we, well, the government should be what we make it. It is okay, we the people.
I want to stop
in
you
theory
right there
before it becomes corrupted.
Okay, that is the point right there.
And by the way, that was Jordan's. That bumper music was awesome. Yeah. You got Jordan here in the studio.
Jordan's the man.
And not that was a live performance, but it was rock and roll. Where can I get that song of Jordan's?
Donna.
Well, Jordan's right here. He could tell. Can we buy that online?
Yeah,
or something?
On the yes, you can. You know, you go to iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah, Lou Jordan
what do
Page.
I type in?
You go to Jordan.
Jordan Page.
Jordan,
into
help
the,
me out here, man. Do the commercial.
I'm trying to help. I'm trying to move some.
I appreciate that.
You know,
one of the albums by the fireplace.
JordanPageMusic.com.
Ernie. What? JordanPageMusic.com.
JordanPageMusic.com. Right. iTunes. CD Baby. If you just Google me, you'll find that song's called "Listen." That's the acoustic version from my last album, and this is from me to you, my friend.
Oh,
here you go.
Thank you, brother. JordanPageMusic.com.
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Brad was out. He's pimping for Jordan. He's like, hey, man, are we going to come back and rejoin her?
Brad,
Jordan?
Just be careful because that album has been known to free minds. So I just want you to just
dangerous.
Listen with caution.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
Brad has a progressive callus on his cortex that you wouldn't believe.
Okay.
You know, I just. I mean, he
progressive.
He's,
I believe in progress. I believe in improving our world. I'm not sure what your
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. You know, we have a different perspective.
All right.
And
you,
I'd like
you
to
keep
know,
saying that.
I want to know what the right. You know, to me, I go and I put my hand on your shoulder and I say, you know, I ask you, whose life is this? And your answer is?
Whose life is
your? I put my hand on
my life
your
is mine. What do you mean?
Okay, well then, can I pass a law that determines how you live that life?
Can you?
Yeah.
No, you're not a dictator. Can we, the people, pass a law? Sure.
Okay, to control your life or what you can
to
or can't
control
do.
My life.
Well, I mean, define when.
Well, yeah, of course.
Well, define when. Oh, see, that's my point. You think that there's some majority or some law or some piece of paper that can regulate how you live.
We the people?
I don't care what it is.
We the people have chosen to live in a society with laws. We are a society of laws. Now, do you ever leave your compound here?
Occasionally.
Okay. When you do, how do you do it? Do you just cut across your neighbor's lawn? Do you go catty corner across
by
that?
By any of the most convenient modern conveyances available to me.
So, you mean you head out on these public roads that are built by the taxpayer, controlling
can I,
your
can
life?
Can I advocate them not being built by the taxpayer?
That you can advocate whatever the hell you want, but I notice that you use these roads that you allow them to control your life, Ernie.
Is that my contract?
How is that?
I signed to be controlled because I drive on a road. Is
apparently,
that it?
Apparently. Do you have a driver's license?
Is that it?
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of old.
Why did you concede to allowing the government to control your life like that? Who is the government to decide that you have to have a license to drive? Why can't a four-year-old drive? Ernie.
I don't know.
Why
say
not?
They can't.
You say they can't. Can't?
I can. Why can't they?
Let a four-year-old drive. You're good with that.
My granddaughter just grabs her little car and just goes.
Okay. So you're in favor of that. Because why not?
I'm in favor of personal responsibility.
And if a four-year-old wants to be personally responsible, that's up to them to get in a car and drive across your lawn.
And then they're responsible, or your parents are responsible for damage that's done.
No, why the parents? The four-year-old is responsible. You believe in personal responsibility, right?
I believe that you are your own owner, and as soon as you can exercise that right. Until that time, you are under the stewardship
who
of
decides,
your parents.
Who decides when that time is?
The child.
The child decides. So when I was five,
I'm gonna answer,
and I wanted to drive,
I'm going to answer your question.
You're cool with
I'm going to answer your question.
All right.
Because this is one of the most contested issues when you go, certainly over the years, when you would go to a Libertarian Party convention. And the reason was is because there was always a group of young people that would come in, or even adults,
that would come in saying that they were a victim of some government agent, being a judge, a court system, that said, you can't stay with this parent, you must stay with that one, or this neighbor, or this person that loved you, or this, you don't get a say, the state does. The state says you are not capable of making your own decisions at 8, 9, 10,
no, they had a say. They had a say.
Oh, it may be different now, but it was because of this very pressure that I'm talking about.
No, no, they had to say, two parties go into court, one side makes their case, the other side makes a case, the judge decides which one that they agree with, and there's checks and balances. If you don't like it, you can appeal the decision.
Where is the voice of the child? And this is the point that they were making. They're going, I claim the ability, even now, at 25 years of age, that at 8 years old, I should have had some type of voice in the rest of my life. No one knew. They're putting me in another home with grandpa, and he's just a bigger abuser. Where do you think my dad learned it?
So we should leave it to the 8 year old to decide what they want to do with their life.
And that's what they were advocating. They were saying.
At the libertarian meetings.
No, that's part of the plank and platform back in the old days.
And do you think that's a great idea?
I understood their position. They're saying, do we have at some point the ability to advocate for ourselves? When does that happen? They go, the government says 21. Then they change it. No, no, it's 18. Then some states, and they're going, no. I want the ability to emancipate myself as an individual. And you're saying, no, you can't, based on some chronology or a number that the government has determined.
No, I'm not saying that
you can't. And I'm saying it's not up to the government.
Of course
it is. It's up to the individual. And you're, see, that's where we differ.
Dude, when I was 8 years old, I would have been driving. I would have been driving, leaving home.
And if you were 8 years old, you know, 60 years ago, you would have been a combine.
A what?
Big combine, farm equipment, what? Tractors.
Listen,
when I was a kid, I was driving around in the orange groves.
I think that
you're missing the point. You're advocating for government control and trying to use an extreme to do it. And I'll take that same
extreme
and say you're going. No, you can't let
an extreme.
You can't let infants fly planes.
It's
you know.
Well, you can't. Can you?
I don't know if they can get behind there and do it. You never know.
Your reasoning here is absurd.
Start from the basis that the government should control us. Saying it's just where they should control us and when they should control us. And I say they never control us.
It's not they, Ernie. It's we.
Oh,
it's we, dude.
They, them, those. There are those that just want to be left alone and those that won't leave them alone.
We.
And you advocate for a big group of people that's not going to leave me alone because they're a big group.
Oh, they leave you alone? I notice they don't bother you at all. Until you want them to not leave you alone, until you want to go out and use their roads.
They're all good.
Right?
How many times I got to pay for it before it's mine? I was just wondering.
Ah, wait, so it's your roads?
Wait, can it be? Can I have a road? You know, where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Right, Ernie, I agree with you. Well, where you're going, there aren't any roads, and it's the Wild Wild West. Now, you think that those are your roads. If those are your roads, then you...
Whose are they?
Then I agree.
Whose are they?
I agree. Then don't
The electromagnetic waves belong to the government. They license out frequencies.
It's they who decide.
It's their electrons on the Department of Defense internet. It's their internet.
You built the roads. You decide when a child can drive. Stop saying
they. Am I allowed to build a road?
You say
I don't want a road. I want my Jetson mobile.
You say they when you want.
See where this is going?
And you say we when you want. Pick a side, Ernie. Be consistent.
I vote me.
Covering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I heard the echo of suffering in the valley of laughter. Heard the rumble of earthquakes far under the water. I heard a court jester who spoke on
can see why Jordan's here.
Can I say that's, you can get that song at jordanpagemusic.com?
That's
can
right. Thank that? You, Brad.
Why am I
Brad
the only
Freeman.
Guy selling crap here when you're the guy advocating that we sell off everything? Why am I the guy doing that?
I would, you know, because I need Jesus. You to do it for me. It sounds better.
Apparently. And Jordan, can I say also, Jordan Page is live in here, in the studio here with us, and we haven't let him say a single word since I got here?
He did all last hour.
How was he? How'd he do?
He's great. Okay. You know, he was there playing at the Veterans for Ron Paul Monday.
And let me say, since you didn't
And we
bother,
had Adam Kokesh on.
I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, because Ernie, you know, he doesn't sell the music of Jordan Page in the studio. He doesn't name me, who came all the way out here, woke up at dawn. Ernie says, oh, you're in town? You should come on by the studio. We live right near you. Oh, really? Okay, I'll be there at 9 a.m. Turns out, you Google it, an hour away.
Bradblog.com.
Now, can I also take control of the show enough to say, because I know you have only a few minutes left.
Bradblog.com.
You only have a few minutes left. Can I? Can we have this fight?
I have a choice.
Keep,
go.
We keep having this fight during the commercial breaks about Ron Paul, but we haven't had it on air. We've only got a few minutes left.
I'm like, save it for the air, man. Go.
I know, but we're almost out of time, because I was talking to Jordan about this. I think that most people who like Ron Paul, understandably like Ron Paul, because as I said in a previous segment, he tells the truth as he sees it, unlike the other three Republican candidates in this race. But I don't think most of the people who support Ron Paul support him because they sense that he's telling the truth, that he's an honest man. I don't think most of those people really appreciate what Ron Paul wants to do.
And
what
I say you are wrong.
Okay, well then let me see. Let's ask Jordan. Jordan, are you cool with coal companies and oil companies just being able to do whatever they want because they have the most money, and if they want to burn as much coal as they want, if they want to take as much oil as they want, you're cool with that? There should be no government restriction on that whatsoever, right?
Well, when you put it like that, Brad.
Well, that is what Ron Paul wants, and I don't think that most people know that.
government interference is what creates the situations of monopolies or untouchable.
Government interference creates monopolies?
Government interference creates
this. You cannot sustain a monopoly without government eliminating your competition through regulation or control.
How do you stop? If you don't have government, if you don't have laws, if you don't have antitrust laws that we used to enforce under Teddy Roosevelt, if you don't have those, how do you break up a monopoly? What's your plan, gents, to break up the monopoly?
Competition.
Competition.
Vote with your wallet.
And how? Vote with your wallet. So when the coal
companies.
But
I'm not allowed?
You can. So when the coal companies are the only ones in town choking up the entire county with coal and saying and keeping out all other forms of electricity.
How do they keep them out?
How do they keep them out?
Yeah.
Well, if there's no development for solar, if there's no development for renewable energy,
if
the coal company decides.
So you need the government to do the development.
No, you need the you need the government to say, no, you can't, like they used to do, you can't burn unrestricted coal, you can't choke off the environment.
So you're assuming
the coal company has the most money.
That we're not in agreement with you on there. You know, this is what
are you in agreement with me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can't have somebody polluting my air.
Dr. Paul isn't. He says
no, of course
it's up.
Not. He says exactly what I just said. Exactly what I just said.
It's up to the coal company.
Okay, why is it up to the coal company?
Because they have the most money.
God, man. Okay, I'm going to give them an economic. I know the audience is freaking out. Get them, Ernie. All right, here we go.
Okay, go.
There is a responsibility that comes with freedom. If you want the freedom to produce and do and whatever, and you pollute the air, the water, the land on someone else's property, if you want to sit there and pour, paint green paint on your house and do what do I care?
Right.
The thing is when it affects me, then I have a right to my life, liberty, property, health,
mine. What are you going to do about it?
This is the only proper role of any government is to be the third party, disinterested, arbitrary arbiter of disputes between individuals.
So,
they have violated my property.
Right.
I need restitution. I need you to make me whole.
How are you going
to
get it?
You go to the courts.
Ah,
that is the only proper role of government.
All right.
But Ernie, this is my point. Uh-huh. This is my point.
I know you don't want
Whenever
me to respond
Whenever you create a government that's there to enforce this kind of thing, just like they did in the 60s, what happens? They started the Libertarian Party based on a bunch of things, and one of those things, in the Nixon administration, they created the EPA.
Right.
And the EPA was there to allow and limit liability for polluting up to a number that they created. And who's they? The government. Who influenced them? The industries. The industry comes in. Here we had a big Superfund cleanup. Motorola did some kind of superconductor water pollution thing. Big super cleanup. We're never going to be able to afford it. Ah, we changed the number. It's not polluted anymore.
You're jumping ahead now to the EPA. We can have that fight in a second.
It's the same thing.
Dude,
the point is that if
respond.
You're going to have a government, the only purpose is to defend individual
let
rights.
Me.
That was what the Declaration of Independence
was
about.
Great.
If you're not going to do then why are you there? And what do they use? They use the government to protect their monopoly, to make it legal to
you're
pollute,
running out the
to
clock.
Eliminate competition. And you're saying what? They don't?
You're running out the clock, aren't
they
you?
They don't?
You don't want me to respond, do you?
I'm waiting on you now.
Okay. I got to go back to your first argument. So your first argument is the coal company builds this huge plant next door. It chokes up. You can't breathe. It's your house raining down ash on your house. You can't breathe.
They damage me.
Your recourse is to go to court against...
Get made whole.
Right. You get to go up against ExxonMobil or whoever the fossil fuel company is. It's Ernie versus ExxonMobil
it
in the court
supposed
system.
To be.
Hang on. Let me answer. Let me respond. You filibustered out. Let me filibuster for a minute.
All right.
You, Ernie Hancock, are going to court. You're going to take on ExxonMobil. It's your resources versus ExxonMobil's resources. That's what Ron Paul wants, which is fine. Who do you think wins in that fight, Ernie? You or ExxonMobil?
Now we're talking me, right?
Yeah, you or ExxonMobil.
Don't ever
really?
Worry about me.
Do you?
Do
you?
They don't want to make. They don't want to make me their enemy. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm,
I
think I'm
you,
doing?
You lose, dude.
Well,
you
this,
lose,
this
and
is,
so does everyone else who thinks they can take on a corporation
because
by
they're
themselves
not taking on ExxonMobil with
course.
The rule of law. They're taking on ExxonMobil with the government in their pocket.
Right.
They are using the government to maintain their dominance over this very thing. Why do you think they have so much
so the government
lobbying?
And ExxonMobil is teaming up against you. And
with the government.
And if you just...
Abso-freaking-lutely.
And if you just had the government out of the picture, you...
Would have a better chance.
Ernie Hancock would be able to take on the trillions of dollars. The largest corporation
How is
in
it
the history
you think they
of
make
mankind
those trillions of dollars?
Versus you.
Standard Oil
I
got to be big
them.
Because they eliminated competition.
Yeah,
eliminated
right.
competition.
Right.
ExxonMobil,
government
you're thinking
letter.
All these large
government
corporations... Corporations would even exist
and you
in
want
a
to
total
take away,
free market.
You want to take away even more oversight. You want to let
you, you
the
want to have a government that you want to have a government that I can support.
Collude
they
and fight
are
it out.
There to support the rights of the individual when right. I am damaged, when I have my land polluted, when they get my water. I go, hey, they damaged me. I want it made whole. Do your freaking job
because,
as a government, and you make them give me restitution.
Another commercial, so I can't tell you. I want to make my closing point.
You know, I tell you what, we're going to do the Jon Stewart thing, okay?
Yeah.
On the way, we're
going to
go ahead and continue streaming. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. Go straight to the live stream video. We'll just keep going, give it what for, and we'll put it up on the archive. So you know, we're not going to, you know, not let him have his say. Most of the people listen to this on the archive and the stream and everything anyway.
I just
so,
want
you
them
know,
to know what's really going on, and if we come back after the break,
you think that the Ron Paul supporters
you.
Don't know that he advocates
yes.
for
yes.
freedom and get
yes.
the government?
I think they don't know what he really
do.
Stands for.
Okay, well, he's going to help us explain Dr. Paul
and
to Dr. Paul's
support on it. I'm just want to
know. We don't
what
know.
He really
we have no
for.
Idea what we're advocating for.
I don't think you do.
Okay. All right. Well, Brad Freeman's going to help us out. We'll be right back. No, we're going to she's going to reboot it and we're going to start right now. You want to go rest or you want
to
hang?
I need to get ready.
Go ahead and
it's
go
It's like
ahead.
10 o'clock. What time are we leaving? Like 11 or something?
Yeah, we're just going to do another 15, 20. Let him go on whatever,
on
and then we'll be done.
Tossing. I figured, well, he's here.
No.
He's been here the whole hour. Might as well hear from him for
this was,
10 seconds.
I did an hour, and like I was just observing it. Ernie wanted me to watch you all battle. you know.
Who won?
The win. What?
I understand where you're coming from, but it's not the whole picture. When you put it in the terms,
we're gonna do it like 15 minutes.
The answer is obvious, right? But the question itself is not entirely flawed. It's like this much of the question when there's actually this much of it.
I'm not sure which part of the question I'm missing. I mean, and so I'm not trying to.
It's not as black and white as that.
What am I missing?
We've never had a free market.
Right.
There's never been one.
Okay. Is it going down?
Why do we sit down when all should be standing? And why do we back down at the critical moment? Like running away from the waves of the ocean. We head for the hills with the high tide approaching. As sand slips away from the castle. When it's time to stand upright, why do we falter like placing our freedom on the sacrificial altar? We hold tight to our fears and defend our oppressors as we fight for their lives and become the transgressors. As pacifists transform to violent aggressors.
We're going to find out. You know, we got Brad Freeman taking you on in the after hour. Alex, come on. No, if you got to go sleep, get ready. If not, you know, did he suck
you
in?
Yeah, you want him to go away because you know I'm going to get him to agree with me. So you want to get him out of the room.
All right, you're not allowed to leave now, Jordan. Okay, so this go ahead, and this is
that's
the,
Jordan
let me
Page,
sum up.
JordanPageMusic.com.
Jordan go Page,
he's buttering me up. That's
well,
what
I want to sell
you
some music.
You need to have him on
here.
Your show.
I want to move some music.
You need to get him on your show. You going to get him on your show?
I don't know.
I cover
news. I cover news.
Is it news?
I come here for opinion.
All right. Yeah.
And silly opinion at that, I should add.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Just kidding. No.
Here we go.
That was cheap shot just for fun.
Let me go ahead. Now, this is the thing that I was talking to Jordan about last night. I don't try to, you know, I'm not going to change Brad's mind. I mean, he's already, you know, whatever. So my thing is that I'm like, look, I just need to make sure that you understand why I'm so convinced. Yeah. I mean, these are the reasons that I am, you know, what my experience has been with government, how they've, I've seen the progression of whenever they start some new program or doing that, it's always to create some dial they want to turn. They want to socially and economically engineer me to benefit, you know, these very corporations and entities that he's against. But he thinks.
What? Wait, what am I against? Corporations and entities? I'm against them?
The very corporations and entities that you oppose and are against, the people that pollute against me, the people that use aggression, the people
that
wage wars.
I don't oppose. I have no problem with
the
company.
Okay, so you're for
them. Well, we need products and services. I have no problem with people having products and services. Do I think that their products and services ought to be allowed to poison and kill us until at some day somebody has the money to go up against them in a court of law and get them to stop poisoning and killing us? How many people have to die in a Pinto fire before we say, you know what? We should not sell that Pinto that explodes on impact. Why? Oh, you would just say, well, competition. Eventually, after a few hundred thousand people blow up in these fires, people are going to say, you know what? I don't think I want a Pinto. Well, I don't want to be the one of the 100,000 who die in that Pinto before quote-unquote competition kicks in to keep us from getting killed in a Pinto. I don't want to be the one who's discriminated against at the lunch counter until maybe 100 years from
somebody says, before you go going on other ones, we get to respond to, you know, as you, you know, your little raid here.
Go ahead.
Okay. The very automobiles or unsafe circumstances, or we have children, toys, they are held limited from liability because of government corporate law. And they are limited from the
people,
hell they're not. Through the court system, even just taking a long time, but it's clogged up with all these, you know, dope smokers.
So I'm looking at, you have a individual or a group of individuals or even a corporation will produce a product that is unsafe. I have little grandchildren. Yeah. I take it upon myself to be informed about what's the coating on it, what's the paint made of, what's, I mean, all these things that over time, because government didn't
really
protect us,
where'd you
because
hear about
government
the coating?
Did not protect
where'd
us,
you hear about the paint?
We found out about it because of damage to children. You go to court, you go through the process, you say, look, this is bad. I need to be educated that it's my responsibility, not the government, to preemptively right. protect something.
So when you went to McDonald's the other day and you bought your granddaughter a Happy Meal with the Chinese lead paint on it, and she was drinking out of the Chinese lead paint, how did you find out it had Chinese lead paint on it?
I advocate for a world where we know that we are responsible for ourselves. I think we are safer that way.
So you're cool with letting your granddaughter get killed from the Chinese lead paint, and then eventually people say, hey, wait a minute, we don't like that McDonald's Chinese lead paint. You don't mind your granddaughter being the victim here.
No, this is the argument that you know. This is the rhetoric that we, you know, Brad and I will go, and what they use on the other side, and what you are advocating. What you are advocating for is the institution of a government that is there under the name of protecting us, that really is there and lobbied by and controlled in the regulations to protect the very company that you say you're against.
Now you say
this is what happens, Brad. I'm not making this up.
I'm answering you, Ernie.
These agencies protect the very thing that you are against.
I agree.
They are used,
corrupt.
Lobbied,
corrupt.
They're always corrupt.
It's a corrupt.
They are always corrupt. It's always corrupt.
It's a corrupt.
Always corrupt.
It's a corrupt government. Now, if you want to allow a corrupt government, if you think I'm arguing in favor of corrupt government, you are wrong. You have not read bradblog.com. I do nothing but fight against the corruption of government.
By using an agency that is in of itself used by these very industries it's supposed to help us against, I give you the financial collapse. You'll go, well, the SEC didn't do it.
It's
enough.
A corrupt
this
government.
Thing didn't do it.
No,
I go,
one of the things
they created
that they did,
these very things. To allow them to do exactly what they did.
Yes,
even the Constitution, the whole entire government is based on the premise it's there to protect us against all the things that the government does.
Okay. The stock market crashed back in the 20s and 30s. They instituted, because the corporations were able to do anything they want. The Gilded Age, they were able to run wild, do whatever they want. There were no laws. It was the Wild Wild West.
Yeah,
and
we're getting some rewriting history here.
They tanked the world economy. They come in, they put something in place called Glass-Steagall that says, okay, here's a regulation.
Why have anything in place?
Let me respond. Because that law, Glass-Steagall, until we did away with it during the Clinton administration, that law kept our constant boom and bust economy
bullshit.
That we saw from happening. Oh, we can say bullshit. We're off the air now. Now, back in the 30s, they instituted that, and all of a sudden, our boom and bust economy ended because we didn't allow banks to become private investors.
It just delayed what was inevitable, what's coming now.
Hang
a decade before the
Ernie,
Depression, there was a Depression.
Story.
It lasted a year. It went away because there wasn't government.
I got to finish my story. Right. No, you did not have a Depression like you had in the Great Depression.
Because government was not
Depression.
In the way.
Wrong. Okay. Move the clock ahead. The economy is not having the boom and bust cycles that it used to have, thanks to something like Glass-Steagall.
It's called inflation.
The economy has been doing great for 50, 60 years. Then the Republicans come along in the 90s, and they say, we need to do away with Glass-Steagall. We need to allow banks to take your money that you've deposited and do any damn thing they want with them, speculate on these phony mortgages to gamble with your money. That's now allowed, and what does it do? It tanks. The global economy, because we did away with the regulation that would have kept them from doing that, that kept them from doing that for the last 60 years since the Great Depression. We do away with that regulation. They tank the economy. That is not the fault of government regulation. That's the fault of a government failure, because it went into bed with that corporation, with those corporations, with those banks.
Who did?
And allowed the government did.
Oh, okay.
The corrupt government did. So, look, you and I are against corrupt government. Okay? We agree with that, right? We're against corrupt government.
There's a difference?
The difference is, I want to uncorrupt the
government.
Yes,
that non-corrupt government is.
Of course there is. Of course there's a non-corrupt government.
Where?
The one that built your goddamn road out there that you use every day, Ernie.
You're killing me.
That's the one that you use every goddamn day.
Sorry, pal. You can't have it both ways.
Who
you
built
either
the
like
road?
That road or
well,
not.
That, is that the shiny badge they wear that says they're not corrupt?
It's
not
the
corrupt?
One you use every day.
No.
And if you got a problem with it,
you
know, don't
that,
use it.
That's
but
why
you
we
use
have,
it every day.
That's why we have that rejoinder where it says, you know, roads? Where we're going, there aren't any roads. And the reason, because it always comes down to the roads. And I was like, if I could be free and give up, I could be left alone and have, and all I got to do is give up the roads.
Yeah.
Bye bye roads.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Not all you have to give up. You have to give up the clean air. You have to, well, whose water system do you use, by the way? You got your own well there? You don't rely
on
it? Do you have your own
no.
well?
No.
So you rely on government to regulate your water.
Do I?
Apparently
is that,
so.
Is that who does it?
Who brings in this electricity to this studio?
It's government that makes it happen.
Who brings it in here?
Arizona Public Service. I mean,
Arizona Public Service? Isn't that another word for the government?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, I
so
want to be able to compete
against the government. You say the government can't do anything. You don't need any government, and yet you rely on the government for every goddamn thing you do. For
you're
the morning,
killing me,
you wake up
you're,
in the morning
you're
until
advocating
you go to bed at night.
That somehow I wouldn't be better off, or not even allowed to try, without government controlled regulation and participation in every aspect of my life, including my water, my air. I mean
yeah.
Are you for...
I want my water regulated. Yes, I want my water regulated.
Well, they regulate enough fluoride for you.
You got
you
no
good?
Problem with that.
Are you good?
I got no problem with them checking the water to make
dose.
Sure it's not poison before I drink it. I think that's a good thing that
they
the
go,
government
see,
does.
It does. Here's all the numbers. You know, it's very low and all. It doesn't have anything. It's all good. We filtered it. It's clean and everything, but you don't mind if we add a little bit of fluoride
because
it's good for you.
Because we know...
Government loves your teeth.
That, because we know... Yeah, I got no problem with the fluoride, actually. Let me tell you that. Because I got zero cavities thanks to the fluoride. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, Ernie. You're saying, your suggestion is that the fluoride is more dangerous than the poison that will be in the water.
No, I'm saying
thanks to the competition.
Well, probably.
Competition
probably.
Will keep the
that's
poison out
point.
Of the water.
Probably, but that's not my point. My point is this.
The invisible hand of the free market will keep the poison out of your drinking water. Good
know,
luck
does,
with that,
does
pal.
Out of my bottled water. Anyway,
good
so
luck.
This is my point. It's the psychology behind the idea that we can be force medicated by the government. It's not what they put in or what it does. It's that I don't have a choice.
You.
It's like, you know, we love you so
sure
much.
You
we love your teeth. Why my teeth all of a sudden? Why do they give a crap about my teeth? Why is that the number one government priority is my teeth?
Then,
is that it?
Then vote him out of office. Then put the fluoride, get the fluoride
no,
out of
the
water.
No, it's
the
concept that
a
we have.
A lot of places don't have the fluoride in the water. You can move to a place where they don't
come,
have the fluoride.
They want them in there, I tell you.
It's government of the people, by the people, and for
wow,
the people. Or
wow.
At least it
but,
is supposed to be
well,
until
see, the
it's corrupted
is, they're
by the
ones
corporations
that, put it in.
That you want to hand the power over to. Now, here's the difference. I
the
just
corporation
want,
without the government, they would cease to exist.
I just want people to understand. And really, in truth, I'm not taking a position on this. I just want people to understand, people who are Ron Paul supporters. And I told you at the beginning of this hour, I've told you in the past, I think Ron Paul is an honorable guy. I think he tells the truth. I think he's the only guy currently in the race of the top four contenders anyway that actually tells the truth, that has a legitimate point of view, that he's not making up just to get votes. Okay? So I respect him for that. And there's many things that he talks about that I agree with.
But you don't
that
respect
said,
his supporters because
no,
you don't think
no,
they're
no,
important.
I do respect his supporters. That's not the point. Look, to have a democracy, we need an educated democracy, an educated populace. We need to have them know what's going on. I talk to a lot of Ron Paul people.
And they'll tell
I
you it's not a democracy.
No, they
I
don't
guarantee
understand.
That.
They don't. Many of them do not understand. You know, I say, well, he wants to do away with the EPA. And they go, yeah, that's right. States' rights. That's what Ron Paul is for. And I said, well, you know what? It's not really states' rights. He wants to give that away to the corporations. And he said, well, that's what it
give
should
what
be.
Away?
What you can do, what you can burn in the air, the coal companies. And I said, I do a radio show every...
he's saying they shouldn't be responsible for the damage they do somebody else? Is that what he's saying?
I do a Ron Paul a show with a bunch of Ron Paul supporters every Thursday night down in Radio I.O. on the Bubba Army Radio. And they're big Ron Paul supporters. And they said, yeah, states' rights. Let them control. They'll control the coal plant. And I said, well, you guys are down in Florida. If Georgia decides to light up their coal plants and that shit blows all over into Florida, who's going to take care of that?
But
Florida
we have precedents for that.
We have precedents for that. That's why
no,
we have a
the
federal
water,
government.
The Colorado River
that's
shared by Nevada and Colorado, Utah, and Arizona.
The air
and
is,
they do.
Who regulates that?
It is a federal government.
There you, boom.
Because in a United States, there is a proper, if you're going to have this constitutional thing.
Ron Paul's against that.
If you're going to have, no, he's not.
Yeah.
Of course
public,
not.
All public lands, give them away.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. I'm for giving away public lands.
Okay. But just not the public water. The water is the land. The water is on the land. No, so he wants to give them away.
You have a dispute between entities. Who regulates that dispute? You know, who's going to have, because they have what they call agrarian and riparian laws on the water.
The U.S. Constitution talks about interstate commerce and that the government is there.
Okay, is that limited to anything or is anything under commerce?
Interstate commerce. So if you have a river that runs across two states and you live in Colorado, you can't poison the water before that river gets to Arizona to be my drinking water.
But see, what you're advocating is you're saying that there needs to be a government agency that's there to prior restraint, regulate before. And what I'm saying is it always, I can give you example after example, turns into that very agency allowing for the pollution,
all right,
giving them limited liability, letting them. Here's a standard. Oh, I'm sorry. It's they're super funding too much. Well, we'll just raise the number. This is now illegal and you can't sue them. I see this happen over and over and over. And you're going, no, we need, what would you have? I'm going, something better. I don't need government sanction of people polluting me.
Okay. Let me try to give you another example here. The police department is doing a lousy job of stopping banks from being robbed.
So there's
a lot of bank robberies. Now, do you want to therefore improve the police service so they respond better and they respond faster, or would you like to abolish police?
Abolish police.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Was I too slow?
No, that's cool. So abolish police. Abolish all government entities.
I have the idea of abolishing police the same as I would abolish the Fed or something. I don't even care if you keep them, don't keep them, whatever. I just want to allow competition. And I don't want to give them the opportunity. They put a gun to my head and say I have to employ this armed government thug that won't wear his name badge. I mean, you know, and then this is what's happened. Here in Arizona, just like three election cycles in the 2000s, there was a provision they put on the ballot. The police and fire, and certainly the police were big behind this, they made it illegal in the city of Phoenix to ever privately contract for any kind of law enforcement. The reason was they had a thing called Rural Metro, which was a private fire fighting company in different cities, and they call it Rural Metro because out in the hinterland and so on, it wasn't economical for people to, you know, have this fire protection as a city. So what they did is they would contract. When my house is on fire, when I hit the alarm, you come put out the fire. Right. You know, they didn't bring down their insurance rates. Right. And so it was a private
fire department.
Private. Well, it's a private answer to a lot of things.
Right.
You have the insurance companies. Mm-hmm. Do you have a contract with Rural Metro or some fire suppression? You're outside a municipality. You got a fire. Your rates are higher. Oh, I contract with what you call it. And the balance comes out. Boom. Private solution. They said, no, we have a law saying you can never do that in the city of Phoenix. Why? Why would they have to have a law to prevent people doing what with their
Bad
money,
law.
What they want to do?
Bad law.
Well, it's the same mentality. You say, you want to do away with all the cops? Listen, that's my choice compared to what I got now? Yes.
I just want people to understand. I'm not even advocating for or against. I'm advocating actually for you to be able to go out and make your case. I don't have anything wrong with that case you want to make. My point is, I don't think that people understand that in a Ron Paul utopia, you do away with the police, you do away with the fire, with fire department, you do away with the public roads, you do away with clean air and water. Water regulated by the government that hopefully the corporations out of the kindness of their heart out of you, Ernie, going up against who's the energy company, Des, in that just killed 21 people up in West Virginia last year in the mine explosion.
Big Branch Mine, they've now been owned by somebody else, so I can't remember.
All of a sudden, they're sold off. The coal companies, they will be allowed to do what they want to do. That miners, you don't have to have any safety laws for those miners.
Think is the proper role of government? We're going to have this government, and we need them to forget the, you know, what the contract says or the thing I never signed.
You got the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah, I got it right here in my computer.
What does it say? You said, what's the role of the government? Read the Constitution. That's the instruction manual, isn't it? provide you for know, the general welfare? And, you got a problem with
and,
that?
And which one of the Bill of Rights is not being violated?
Promote the general welfare. Come on over.
Okay, see, this is you know what? You got a progressive on when they throw that out.
What's that? Progressive. It's the U.S. Constitution.
Promote I'm throwing out the general Constitution. Welfare.
That's what it
means
says in the Constitution.
What to you?
You can decide what it means, but you said what?
No. What does it mean?
Promote the general welfare,
yeah, which means what?
I think I say freedom. Kind of self-explanatory.
To me, it means promoting freedom. That's good. What the whole concept of the time was like.
Awesome.
To promote the general welfare meant
you.
To promote individual liberty. Yeah, that's all why right. This show is declare your
you.
Independence.
Good.
The whole
you.
Purpose of government is the defense of individual rights.
You.
When they stop doing
sweet.
That, they're the bad guys. They
sweet.
Them those.
Sweet. I'm with
okay.
you.
So you're going to general welfare
you.
Is what?
Right. I'm with you.
Your definition of general welfare is what? I say general welfare is freedom.
Okay,
I say it's freedom. Now
okay.
what?
Freedom is good. That's one part of general welfare.
It's one part?
Okay, here's the other part.
What's the other part?
The other part is that the hundreds of thousands of coal miners who have not died since we instituted MSHA mining laws, the hundreds of thousands of people in this nation who have not died because we put in place regulations over workforce in the mines, in the workforces.
You know,
that's my idea
no,
of the general welfare.
I understand your point. Now, it's a prior restraint thing, and I want to, you know, it equates to what I'm going to say here. You would say that these people do not have the freedom to go work in the ricketyest, you know, bamboo doing hovel, crawl down the whatever. No, you're not allowed because we got a law. And I'm going, okay, you know, I would say that you're not allowed to, you know, send somebody down there without full disclosure. Hey, man, you're going to go down there and die. Okay, you know,
it's
take
not
care
about,
of my family.
It's not about freedom,
you know?
Man.
And,
you
well,
live in Appalachia.
You know, I don't want it because you are already determining the control over somebody's life. And you take that responsibility for someone to be able to make their own informed decision. And that's why libertarians are against force and fraud. When you lie to somebody, you give them full disclosure and say, take this pill.
So
and you
am
got,
I.
You're a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Progressives
but then all your
also,
hair falls out and you go, hey, man, I don't need my hair. So, you know, it's like, you know, you go, let them make a decision.
Progressives are also against force and fraud. But, when you live
let me,
in a
let me go ahead and make this
rural,
point.
Okay, then I'll make my point.
Let me make this point. I go in. I don't want the TSA. I don't want to I leave it to the airlines. Let them decide. And this is where you're going. Oh, you would give it to the corporations. You give it to them. I want to be able to freely contract with who I work for, who I fly with. And I want to be able to get on Fly and Die Airlines, you know, drive up to the tarmac, walk up the stairs. And they gave me my 9mm because I forgot to bring mine.
And no government regulation for whether the planes
right.
work or not. They can use any old rickety planes.
Right.
They want. You got no problem with that.
Exactly.
No inspections needed.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Exactly.
All right, cool. I like to have my
I'm not
planes.
Allowed.
You can. I like to have my planes
and
inspected.
And you'll be in line in the cattle chute over
call
there
me
getting
a
anal
radical,
probe.
Yeah, call me a radical.
I want the freedom.
No, I don't want the TSA. I don't like the TSA.
It's just an offshoot of everything that you're talking about. You're talking about prior restraint. There's always an excuse for more
yeah,
government
okay.
to do stuff that it'll never stop.
Let me just
I
get
say,
back
can
to
we
one
try
point.
Freedom for
you
once?
You promised at one point. You said you move the clock forward so fast with each argument that I can't respond to all five of them. So let me go back to the original
one. You ain't guilty.
Well, let me go back to the original one, which was that you we were talking about the mines, the coal miners, the hundreds of thousands who haven't died because the government has instituted regulations. And you said, well, you know, you think people shouldn't have the freedom to go work in the dirty mines. Here's the deal. You live out in the rural parts of West Virginia and Appalachia. You don't have the freedom to go do something else. There is one job in town. It's a company town. There is no other job for hundreds of miles in every direction. It
lots
is to
of
go,
incentives.
It is to go work in that coal mine.
Yep.
And if you want to support your family, if
yep.
you want to put food on the table, you're going to go down into that mine. And you're going to go down
yep.
into that mine,
yep.
whether it's going to kill you or not. Now, we have a
well,
government.
I don't know what you're going to do.
You
I
have,
mean, but,
Ernie,
you, know,
you
have
that
freedom.
Choice. It's not freedom. It's survival. That's your choice in that town. That is the only job there is. Now, if that's what you have to go do, I'm not happy about leaving it up to the coal companies to decide what is
it's
a safe environment for me to. It
I,
is not.
I'll give you an example.
When it's the only
okay.
job in town,
no,
Ernie,
no, I understand
it is
your
not
point.
Up to the individual.
I understand your point, and this. Let me give you, you know, from personal experience how this works. when you're running for office, certainly for Congress and U.S. Senate and all this kind of stuff, and or even local races, we're always asked to go before the AFL-CIO. They have all the different unions, and usually in one building, and they'll have the electrical this and the plumbing that and the Teamsters, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like Unionville. So you go in, and you'll have representation of probably at least maybe even a dozen different union workers at one big table, and you go in as a candidate. Yeah. And over the years, they've gotten to know me. They know I'm sincere. They know it's like, Dr. Paul, yeah, we know your position. We understand your argument, right. But don't you think that? No, I don't. Right. Okay. So we sit there and we have a conversation, and I know they're going to endorse the liberal Democrat, De La, whatever, or whoever's going to give them the increase in their pay on the what you call it and whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get in, we have conversations, and I go, look, libertarians are your best friends because we understand something that you have had this beaten out of your mind. The job is not yours. The job belongs to the employer. The person that created the job, the person that owns the mine, the person that created the job is his. You own your labor.
Wait, they own the mine? They don't own the mine. The mine is leased from we the people.
Depends.
They're using
here
our
in Arizona,
resources.
We have private patented mines. I mean, it goes. So
you're happy to give away our public resources.
Why do you think everything's public? What are you, Hugo? I mean, can I own anything? Yeah. Okay, well, let me finish my point. We'll get to that.
Right.
So let's assume, that I at least own the equipment. I'm not the government. We're not totally fascist yet. So we go, all right. So I own this job. It's mine. I'm the employer. I hire somebody. I decide who goes there. And you're like, no, you got to make diversity and so many minority, whatever. Let's assume that I have this business.
Okay.
I hire someone to fill my job. It's my job. The person owns their labor.
Right.
I'm not advocating anybody make anybody go mine. I'm not going to make anybody do anything.
Well, if you live in a town where that's the only job.
No, then... it's your labor. I'm not putting a gun to your head and forcing it. Whatever your circumstances, you can go into the army, which is exactly the same thing. Uh-huh. You have the military. They're like, well, you don't have a choice. The job is, we took the money from the taxpayers and we'll give you go blow up people. Okay. And you go, oh, I'm forced into it by either economics or...
The only job in town is
the army.
Is to go into the coal mine or to go join the army. So you can go die in the coal mine or go die on the battlefield.
And that's often their choices.
That's what you're offering. Right. You're cool with that.
No, I didn't say I'm cool with it. What's the solution? Because we want the same thing. We want people that have a higher standard of living, that live safer lives, to be free.
Be able to go work in the coal mine under safe conditions for humane pay, for humane conditions,
and
under a living wage.
Exactly. How best to get to
there
that.
There we go.
Okay? How best to get to that. Right. That's the difference.
Okay.
So the thing is that I'm
you
going,
leave it
all
up
right,
to the
we go
to the corporation
to, let me
decide.
Finish. We go to the union guys and they say, libertarians are your best friends, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that you own your labor. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to collectively pool your labor and deprive it of these guys or do it back and forth, we're not working, we're striking, whatever, you have that right. It's called right of association, First Amendment, do whatever you want. But then do you have the right to take the government sword and make the company collectively bargain to make them deal with you, to make them sign a contract, to make them under what your conditions.
If you don't, they bust the union. They kill
the
union. You don't. So there is no public bargaining at that point. There is no collective bargaining at that point.
Of course there is.
Why? They would just kill every single union. Why would they do that? Just go hire somebody else. There would be the
which is
you
what
would have
they
the
did.
Lowest common denominator.
So
you would have China.
So what's
you would have slave
so what's
wages.
The alternative? Here you have coal mining. Very perfect example. I think it was in Pennsylvania. The coal mine gets up there and they say, hey, these bunch of, ne'er-do-wells out there striking and everything. We need to get rid of them. We hire these other people. Well, then they violate the property rights of the mine owner. Say, no, these guys can't go in. They beat up the scabs and they back and forth and you do this violence. So then what happens? They bring in Pinkerton detectives and they machine gun the people.
Right.
Okay.
This is your private security option.
No, government allow it. The government prosecute anybody on this?
No, that's your private security option. You don't want the police to come out and keep that from happening. You want the Pinkertons. You want the companies. They're the only ones who can afford to hire the Pinkertons to come out
because
and machine gun down the workers.
Because the base philosophy was wrong from the beginning.
Okay.
The workers thought they owned the job and that they could prevent a scab from coming in and taking their job. You can't take my job. It's not your job. It's your labor. If you don't want to work for this guy, if you want to strike, strike. I don't care. But the force.
But then
even
come down and gun them down, right?
Well, think about it.
Calm down and gun them what down. Or don't respect the union and just hire anybody else.
No, the unions didn't respect the private property of it. This is a side effect. This is a side effect. Let's say I'm an owner of a property and I got these people out there depriving me use of my property. At what point do I get to assert my own defense of my property?
Wait, when is it your property?
When's it not?
If that coal is under my town, is under my house.
So it belongs to the people.
Of course.
So it's we're Venezuela.
Of course it does.
All right.
It belongs to the people. They're living off the largesse of the people when they're taking our resources.
So I'll ask you this. Yeah. Am I allowed to buy land and have everything that's underneath? Am I allowed to do that here in the desert? I mean, you drive around Arizona. There's a lot of open land.
You don't own the mineral resources underneath the land.
Why?
Because it's a finite, it's a finite amount of. You can't suck all the water out of the land. You can't dig a hole a mile deep.
Why?
And then say, "Okay, I'm done. See you later. Enjoy the land." Why don't you come here, see how your neighbors like it? When you dig up your house,
I give you an
dig
example.
A mile hole and say, "Okay, I'm done. I've got all the land I need. See you later."
Here in
Next
Arizona,
guy, enjoy the house.
Bruce
enjoy
Babbitt,
the land.
Democrat, was governor. He went on to be Secretary of the Interior under Clinton.
Right.
His family made their money in northern Arizona logging woods. That's what they did. When he became Secretary of Interior, all of a sudden he owns the monopoly of all the kind of trinkets and trash shops and everything at Grand Canyon.
Okay.
You know, none need apply because we own the other one.
Corruption. It's corruption. Corruption. But, you're against government corruption. So am I, Ernie.
There's never a separation between those two
of
words.
Of course there are. It's a lazy...
Well, when you find it, you let me know. So this is what happens. We have the Forest Service here.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is, here's your public land. Now, it belongs to the public. It's National Forest Service, public, all public. Okay? What do? They go in and clear cut the living crap out of it. When you have private ownership of something, even when you've got endangered species like buffalo, you get private ownership. All of a sudden, we got more buffalo. We got buffalo burgers.
Yes.
When I was a kid, there was no buffalo.
Yes, I know. The private ownership of the forest is the best thing for
the land. Weyerhaeuser, and you got a forest that you have to maintain. It's in your self-preservation, for your own self-interest to maintain.
Never clear-cut their land.
It's their land.
Are you crazy, Ernie?
It's their land.
So they clear-cut it. Fine.
And then they replant it.
And you're cool with that. No, they don't. They move on and buy more land. If it's cheaper for them to not replant it and to go buy more land, that's what they do.
Your backyard
used to have a beautiful forest is gone, and you're cool with that. You're great with losing your backyard because they bought it, and they have the right to cut
I'll
down
tell you how far.
Your backyard.
I'll tell you how far I'm willing to go. I go before the editorial board, the Arizona Republic here, which is Gannett, okay? Now, USA Today. And so on. They know me. We can do whatever.
Right.
2004, I'm running against John McCain.
Right.
Okay. So we're up there and we're doing, they're trying to get some controversy going between me and John. And he goes, and I go, "Are you kidding me? John, you're the man. You're the freaking man." I go, "We're at war with all these economic things are coming, blah, 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 long list of stuff. And you're not having to answer to anybody and do any debate. And this is the first time you come after we already started early voting. You're the freaking man." And you look to the press and I go, "But you guys, you suck.
Yeah,
you're the ones that let this happen.
Exactly.
So they're trying to get some environmental stuff going on, just what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm going, just to make sure that I wanted to make my point very clear. I go, "I am." They go, "Well, what about Grand Canyon? What about?" I said, seriously, is this the question to me? If I get billboards painted on north face of the Grand Canyon and that's the price I got to pay to be free,
paint that
bad boy up.
All right, there you go.
And I'm free. We're all good.
So
I can have on the south rim, built on the very edge of the canyon, a hotel with the longest bungee jump on the planet.
Yeah, I know. You're cool with that. And that's fine. And that's your, if that's your opinion, I got to give up to be free. And the person with the most money is the most free. And that's fine. That's what you want. That's the Ron Paul utopia.
You've got
to
allow for competition.
I'm not right. Competition.
Government monopolies are created because of the corporation.
Let me just finish this. And competition with our finite resources. So you're cool. If you are the highest bidder, go into the Grand Canyon, destroy it, mine the whole frickin' thing, get rid of it because you own it, because you have the most money. That's freedom, baby. It took how many billions a year? Let me finish. It took
how many billions of years to get that Grand Canyon, you're cool with destroying it because you had the most money to buy it and to destroy it. It doesn't belong to anybody but the owner of it.
How did I get the most money?
It doesn't matter how you got it, right? You have the most money.
I tell you, all these guys got the most money just because they're protected by government.
Right. So destroy
it. Guarantee it.
Right.
Pick one.
Whoever it is.
Pick one.
You know, you're changing the argument. When you can't defend your argument, you change it, Ernie.
You're saying that the people wouldn't have the ability. Hell at the...
The Colorado River, what about it?
Well, if you mine it and you poison the water for 7 million people.
Oh!
And you can do that too. She's
sounds
cool with
like
that.
You've violated cool someone's life, liberty, property.
Okay, good luck.
A proper
with that. And after role those 7 million,
government.
Right, and after those 7 million people die,
see,
then you can go to court and Ernie can go up against ExxonMobil.
Up with
Ernie
anything.
Versus ExxonMobil. Good luck
I
to you.
I can come up with anything
we'll
to justify preemptive government we need to protect because of what might happen.
Let me make my point and then I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone. Let me make my point, and I'll even let you have the final word.
Minority Report.
My point is, you're cool. The guy with the most money comes in, buys the Grand Canyon, tears it down.
Poisons, I'm saying that's what happens.
Poisons all the water. No, it has been protected.
Oh, shit, that's what happens all the time.
It has been protected thanks to the government, thanks to Teddy Roosevelt coming in and saying, we need public lands, we need to protect them. If you have any question about that, go up to Niagara Falls and go look what happened on the American side of Niagara Falls before there was any protection of those public lands. Look at the eyesore commercial crap that is built right up to the falls and then go, you know what? I'm going to go to the Canadian side where it's actually protected and beautiful and not a toilet like we have in the U.S. Now, if that's what you want along every inch of the Grand Canyon, let me just finish.
Commerce is beautiful.
I swear to God, you can talk for the next hour. I don't care. I just want to make this point. If that's what you're in favor of, if you think that is good, and if you think that those 7 million people who drank that water who got poisoned can then, after they die, can go in and sue, if that's what you're in favor of, that's cool. But just understand that that is what Ron Paul is advocating for. And I'm not saying I'm even for it or against it. I'm just saying I want people to understand that is what Ron Paul is pushing for. When you support Ron Paul, that's what you're promoting.
And I'm cool am with
that.
Saying
but just
that
know that.
I'm telling what I know.
And I'm done.
And what I know is that what you, the very description of what you are afraid of, what you don't want, the poisoning of the people in the water, the air, that is allowed, created, promoted, defended by the very government and agencies that you're freaking talking about.
I know.
And it's just like with the economy. He's going, well, you wouldn't have enough regulation because the economy goes, the free market is a better regulator.
Now, I am interested, by the way, in this Ron Paul libertarian utopia that you advocate. You've got me interested.
It's not
in
a Ron Paul thing. It's a freedom thing.
The freedom utopia that you advocate, that Ron Paul advocates and so forth. It does sound interesting. Is there some place that I can go to see how this works?
Yes.
Where's that?
In between my ears.
That's what I thought. So in the entire history and the civilization of man,
it's in our mind. It's what we're evolving to. There's no getting around it, Brad. You can blah, blah, blah all you want.
Yeah.
You know, we're progressively going. That's what you're seeing. This
Mad
revolution.
Max? Does that give me an idea? If I go watch Mad Max, does that give me an idea of what you're advocating for?
I don't know. Which part?
Well, the part where it's every man for themselves, that we're all fighting over every pint of oil we can find.
See, and what you do.
The invisible market, the free hand.
What Brad does is the same thing the other side does with Muslims and Islamofascism and Rudy Giuliani stuff. They always resort to fear.
It's not fear. What's the fear? I just asked you.
We're all going to die without government.
I asked you, where can I go to see how this works, how well it works?
Between your ears.
So it has never worked anywhere?
It works in my family.
Really?
We live in an anarcho society right now.
No,
you think
I see
that we
where
don't.
You live. You live right off the public street that you use every day. You
this
use
is
the
one
public
thing
water.
That,
you use
you know,
the public electricity.
This is one thing people advocate for statism. They never
it's
really
not between
understand.
Your ears. It's not in
when
between
you
the walls
wake
of your
up,
house.
Nobody tells you when you got to wake up. Nobody makes you go eat something. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, unless you're in prison or whatever.
Okay.
Nobody tells you how to, day by day, minute by minute, how you live your life, who you raise, how you raise your children, what's important, your values. Nobody, we live in an anarchist society right now.
So you're
right
cool.
now.
So you're
we are in an anarchist society. What happens is there are entities that use collective force and fraud and coercion and propaganda and deceit and lies to manipulate you to behave a certain way of what they want.
Right. And
but
we're here to
we
stop.
We are autonomous
them.
Individual human beings, and it's trying to be stripped from us to benefit the desires of somebody or something else. Right. And you want to know where freedom is? It's right here, right now. I have freedom. We're not afraid. Freedom. Done. It's done. You think it's like something I got to go get, or I need sanction from somebody, or I need a law passed, or I need something.
Yeah, you do.
You do. I don't.
You wouldn't be broadcasting if it wasn't for the law. You're using electric. Why aren't you using? Why don't you have solar panels?
I'll ask you.
Why are you using this government electricity?
I'll ask you.
This government water.
I'll ask you.
Why are you doing it?
Now, here we go.
And then I got to go.
Right now, they have hackers that are going to be using satellite to communicate from computer to computer, bypassing the Department of Defense internet. Okay?
Good.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right? We had Richard Branson, Spaceship Two guy, and so on. He's buying up bankrupt satellites, so he says that third world poor people can have internet access, whatever. When that happens, and it's all private, am I allowed to have a satellite dish on top of my house?
Sure.
Go to a private satellite and get all the porn and TV and internet and whatever. I'm done. I'm off the grid.
Sure.
Totally private. Should be regulated.
Sure.
Where's the government?
No.
The government, why?
No, you're welcome to
why?
Do
they
that
probably
if you
have
want.
Evil, bad kitty porn or
why
something.
Why should that be regulated? It's up to you.
I know you
want to do that.
Bad, evil government.
You want to do that in the meantime.
No, there are bad, evil people who need government to protect us from my...
The reason you know about it is thanks to the government internet that you use every day that we're broadcasting on right now. You forgot to thank them. You wouldn't have that if it weren't for the government, for the evil government taking away your freedoms.
Seriously? They are suppressed so much. It's like you wouldn't have space travel without the government.
Are you freaking kidding me? You ought to be thanking the government every day because you rely on them for every single thing you do, every breath that you breathe. You love the government.
God.
You wouldn't be able to come out here and pretend that you had freedom between your ears if you weren't relying on government largesse for everything you do, Ernie Hancock.
You know, I can't imagine a better place to stop.
Yeah, I know. You should because your government internet is running out.
You're killing me, man.
Ernie, I've killed you for the past hour and a half, but I thank you for having me. You can get more on the work that I do at bradblog.com, since Ernie won't say it.
Bradblog.com. Bradblog.com. There you go. Golly.
Thanks
you
know, for having me, Ernie.
Brad, it as always.
You rock, brother.
A pleasure.
Oh.
A pleasure.
I actually mean it. It has been a pleasure. Thanks. I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no, we always have fun. But you can see it's a difference in perspective. You know, what's the proper rule of government?
Where's one guy's right, one guy's wrong. We got it.
Yes, we do. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.